Is that it? I never know how to start these things, Dom Irira.
Hey, Joe Rogan.
What's up, my brother?
I was thinking comedy team for us.
Let me just
throw it out to you.
Like a Starsky Hutch kind of a thing?
Rogan and Irira. He's wacky, I'm wackier. What do you think? You like the
can we have a wife that like always wins? I can't hear my... There's something wrong with this headphone, Brian. Is that it?
Check it.
Okay, there it goes. I found the volume. There's something fucked with it. Yeah, could we have like
talking
like
frog?
Wives that always win?
Yeah.
That would be great.
That's
right?
Funny. They're always outsmart.
A talking dog.
A talking dog?
Yeah.
That's bold.
No.
Like, how about an alien? Remember when they had... What was that, Alf? Was that the show?
Alf,
they had
yeah.
a talking fucking
my
alien.
Favorite Martian, but he was like a normal guy from Mars.
Didn't Wonder Alf years. Eat cats or something crazy like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he wanted to eat cats all the time.
Do you know the real
total
Alf?
Jerk.
That's actually really funny when
you know,
think about it.
Do you know the real guy, the father in that show, ended up, always wanted to like blow derelicts?
What?
Did you ever hear that?
No.
I hope I'm right about this information, because I'd hate to ruin somebody's reputation, but he used to like to blow like street people.
Whoa.
What? I know. That's a little. That could be high risk.
Holy shit!
Is this a way to start the show?
That's a beautiful way to start the show. We haven't even done the commercial
yet.
Fuck
Fleshlight. I love it.
I got to
so
figure out how to do these Fleshlight commercials in a different way. And after you've done it 200 times, there's no way.
Fleshlight?
Yeah. This is a commercial right now.
They're terrific.
The beginning.
It's a terrific product.
Have you used one, Dom Irira?
All the time.
Really?
Every day.
They're pretty good.
All day. All day.
Better than masturbating. I choked on my words. That's how excited I got about it.
You started.
Oh, better than masturbating. I'm like,
your throat,
choking and shit.
Your throat started coming.
I choked. I gagged. Anyway, go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight, enter in the code name Rogan, and save yourself 15% off the number one sex toy for men, Shazam. We are also brought to you by Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain and Shroom Tech Sport, which is completely unnecessary for Brian, because Brian is he's just not into pushing it.
No.
You're the opposite of Shroom Tech Sport.
Right.
You need like Shroom Tech Ludes.
I need Shroom Tech Sleep. You have sleeping pills yet? That'd be
no.
awesome.
Take some melatonin.
You don't have a high libido?
Huh? I don't even know what that means.
Does your dick get hard often?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My dick, yeah, yeah. I don't have a high libido, though.
He's a little bit of a pervert, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I found out last night on a podcast that, you know how you have that joke about the cum in the front of your shirt?
Yes.
I also have that happen all the time. And I was saying like how one of my laundry is one out of four shirts. If I look at it, it has the cum crystals all over it.
Right.
And I sit in front of Dana Dierman, Doug Benson, and Lexi Bell, and all of them thought I was psycho. They're like, that's disgusting. I've never heard of a guy
porno
having that
people
before.
Are telling
all
you it's
porno,
disgusting?
Hardcore fisting, everything. Like it's.
Oh, it's so silly.
I find that repulsive.
So you guys agree with me, right?
Of course.
You'll have shirts that you look down and you're like, shit, was that sloppy?
Hey, I had a time I was going to play basketball. It was like a Saturday morning, and I forgot that I had put like toilet paper all over my stomach and all from jerking off. Right? it was so embarrassing. I get up and I get down. I just like maybe had something to eat real late, and I'm walking out with a friend of mine. And he came to pick me up, walking down to the gym. And I take off my shirt because it's so fucking hot. And there's a little toilet paper stuck almost to my neck, right? And he goes, oh, what the fuck's that? I go, oh, jeez, never mind. I was just,
oh, jeez, never mind.
I went to my other friend that he came in the house. I was going to go out and have a beer with him. We're all living together. And I hear him go, oh. Oh, and I hear him different parts of the ass. I think he's walking around the house with his pants down, jerking off. So next day, I'm at the basketball court, and he comes up, and he goes, didn't you hear me last night? I go, yeah, I fucking heard you. He goes, I broke my nose. He bent down and broke his nose. I said, wow, thank God. I thought you were jerking off. What a relief.
What a similar sound. Oh, it's very similar. Oh,
yeah.
That broke nose feeling. Like, oh, fuck. Anyway, Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, which was the stuff that I was talking about. Took four of them last night, Dom Irira.
Yeah,
shit out of that heavy bag, son.
Get that bag. Bag hates you, Joe.
Bags are a beautiful thing. If you don't have a heavy bag, if you can have a heavy bag, and you're silly. Get one of those things. It's like the best stress reliever of all time.
Now imagine what would have happened if what you just went through when you were younger and less and much more volatile.
what I just went through
before.
If
you didn't have a family and peace with yourself and the whole thing.
There's a lot of nonsense in this world, Dom Irrera.
What the fuck could be worth it? That guy, how did he know who he was fucking with?
People are silly. We're just talking about dudes giving dudes the finger and whatever in the car, like road rage all the time. It's just so common, and it's so silly. Like, people, you know, if someone gets in front of you, like, why are you really that upset? Are you really going to give me the finger?
The finger, like, that hurts too. Yeah. Hey,
it's
not
just,
the finger.
It's so silly. Like, what kind of a man does that? Brian, tell me.
Brian, you know, tell me, you're almost
why
a man.
Why is that shit? Why is that shit?
You're manlike. Tell him.
An angry guy that takes too much supplements before going to jiu-jitsu.
Could be. He's getting ready for combat.
Yeah, he's in war.
And that's
right
what it
now.
Is. He's in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't like the idea of seeing myself. By the way, I forget what I look like. You know, I really do. I forget that I'm like starting to look Mongolian.
Yeah, we talked about this the last time you were on the podcast.
Fucking
yeah, you look. It's a hint of Inuit. Is how I think how we described it.
I don't like seeing it. I don't believe it's real.
Cue the music, Brian. Oh yeah, enter in the code name Rogan. Blah blah blah. Shroom tech sport. Is the stuff that we were talking about. Alpha Brain is another cognitive enhancing supplement that I didn't take before the show, so hopefully I won't suffer. I'm going to take one. I'm going to have to pull one out in the middle of a good story.
Joe, but, did you get the list of questions I want you to ask me so I could hit you back with my zingers?
So, Dom, I understand you just got back from the zoo.
Funny you should say that. Joe, you wouldn't believe all the funny things that happened to me at the zoo today.
Go to onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, enter in the code name Rogan, save yourself 10%. We will have the kettlebells available this week.
Sweet.
And all information about that soon to follow. All right, holla, hit the music.
Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
Wow.
He's got a new fade every time, the kid. Just when you think he can't just... He can't add a different flair. There's no more flares to add.
Is this Ricardo Montalban over here? I got so much good feedback calling you a retard.
It's the cool thing to do. Yeah.
Well, Brian is slightly playing a character on the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's subtle. It goes in and out. Even I don't know when it's there. I don't recognize it. But he balances me out.
Yeah, now you guys are the yin and yang of life.
That's what we've been trying to form a new band, and that's what it was going to be called. We guys are the yin and yang of life.
The yin yang twins.
It's kind of a long hook.
Yeah, that we would have to go to war with the yin yang twins. They would kick our ass for jacking their name.
No, we could copyright that shit because they don't have a podcast. We do a podcast first called the yin yang twins, and then we own the yin yang twins podcast.
That seems unscrupulous.
I had no idea this show was this fucking big. I swear to God. I mean, it's amazing. I'm in Chicago. People are coming up to me. One guy came to the show. He goes, man, you know, I didn't really hear you before, but when you did the podcast, you and Rogan were so fucking funny. I had to come. I go, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, I did the show. Not like I felt like I was doing you a favor, but you got a show. Of course I want to do it. You know what I mean? It's like,
but you didn't think that many people were going to actually listen to it.
I had no fucking clue. I'm so retarded. You know?
I don't know what the real numbers are right now. Well, it's pretty high, though. And what it is, though, is... The difference is they're with you for hours at a time.
And they're comedy people.
Yeah.
They're people
that
did comedy. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Because when I like late night shows, nobody gives a fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's hard, too. Don't you feel when you do a late night show that you don't even get a chance to really get cooking? You're doing like 5 minutes or something like that, or 7 minutes. Yeah. Man, I can't do it. I just, my mind doesn't function like that for a set. It's really hard to pull off and get a true... feeling what the experience of seeing someone live is.
Plus, you like I like, just to do some stuff that's just improvisation.
Yeah.
Fuck around.
Always.
And my most fun I ever had was on Craig Ferguson when he introduced me and gave me the wrong credit. he said, you can see Dom at the Denver Comedy Works this week. I said, thanks a lot. What a crack staff you have. I was there last week, but I'm so hot in the business, I have to post-plug things or the place will be stormed, right? And then he said, well, let's just start it over. He came out on stage. Like, I don't start it over. I got a spot at the Laugh Factory later. I can't. I don't have this kind of time. But that was fun because it was real.
Right.
Can't do that every time, but...
It's to have enough time to fuck around is odd. You know, most of the times it's like, it's so rigid.
Oh,
you start with your first bit. It just...
So fucking corny at the desk. Like we were just saying about the zoo. He asked me this, right?
I mean, it's cool when someone has a good story, you know, and you get some Nick Nolte character. It's got some crazy story.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're accepting a contrived conversation.
Yeah. Is there any, I mean, I saw an actress on one of the shows. I couldn't watch it, but... That's some of the most boring fucking TV there is. And Letterman said, really, they just want to see you. In other words, you're so fucking vapid. Just sit here. Don't even worry about talking. You know what I mean? I'll do the talking. Just sit there because you have nothing to offer.
Has Kim Kardashian ever been on Letterman?
I don't know.
Who, probably.
What talk shows has she been on?
She has to be on everything, right?
I don't know. I've never seen her interviewed. No. It's one of the things that I was marveling at one day. I was like, I don't think I know her voice.
She's been on the Lamar Odom Big Cock Show.
If her the character playing her voice was substituted with a new character, I don't know if I would be able to pick it out.
No.
I was like, it's amazing that she became like super famous without me. I mean, in my world, like I know who she is on a regular basis,
right.
But without me ever hearing her talk. That's incredible. I might have heard like one or two of the commercials or something like that, or maybe I watched one episode of the show. But you know what I'm saying? Like if somebody tried to replace your voice,
right.
I would go, that's not Don Herrera. I know what he sounds like. If someone tried to do Jeff Goldblum, I know what Jeff Goldblum sounds like.
Right. But I hear your rhythm.
I know what
guys.
Letterman's voice sounds like.
Yeah.
But I don't know what her voice sounds
Here
like.
Here she is on Letterman.
Like you could dump this with a completely different person's voice. But she's as famous as like what's the chick's name from Friends?
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, whose voice is like extremely well known.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like Jennifer Aniston is very specific
and an accomplished actress.
Yeah,
what did
but,
she ever
but
do?
You yeah, exactly. Like it's amazing how famous she's gotten with very little words.
She's 25.
Well, just a kid and she's getting married. Was that exciting?
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Uh-huh. And
that could be
a
totally fake voice, and I wouldn't know. It could sound nothing like what she sounds like.
Maria Bamford could be dubbing her voice.
It's amazing how far a human being can go in the world of fame without ever saying anything.
Well, don't you think, like, you know a
what
lot of
people. What did you do to her, Brian? You turned her into an alien.
I should have done this.
Children in the house.
Wow, she's the exorcist.
My brother Brody was here the other day.
Well,
Brody
maybe that's.
Stevens.
Red Rum.
That's the nightmare.
He is a nice kid.
She's demonically possessed. This is actually an encoder. He's got a secret decoder ring, and it's deciphering what her real voice actually is. Before Lucifer's powers.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, that's the freakiest shit. Why is that demonic when it's just shitty?
What did you do for your summer?
Oh, I went to Africa this summer.
This fucking bitch is going to kill me.
Diamond Empowerment Fund sent me and my sister and my boyfriend, and we just went to Botswana. And it was really cool to see how all the diamonds really helped the country out there.
Wait a minute. What?
Back it
Holy
up. Back it up.
Shit. Holy shit. What the fuck did she just say?
The diamonds.
Oh,
the
my God. That was hilarious. Holy shit.
I had no idea.
Life
diamonds.
Is not real. I'm telling you.
His diamond empowerment
it's a fucking Coen Brothers movie.
And, my boyfriend and we just went to Botswana. And it was really cool to see how all the diamonds really helped the country out there.
Oh.
And the nods, like thinking that people are going to applaud.
Right.
You know, conception of what was going on there. And so every year I like to go on a vacation out of the country.
Well, I think that's good to get out and see what's going on. But see, I had, and believe me, I'm ignorant in most matters, a different impression that the diamond industry, maybe on a global stage, was generating huge sums of money, but locally in these countries where they were mined, that the people were being exploited. Did you?
That's what I assumed before I went there, and so that's kind of why I wanted to go. And it's completely the opposite. These diamonds fund the schools and the hospitals. They fund pretty much the entire country. But I was a little bit disappointed in Africa because I wanted to go see some wildlife animals, and it's like this 24-hour flight. I was so excited to see like giraffes and these crazy animals like lions, and I saw a few cubs. But when I get home off of the 24-hour flight in Calabasas, California, my sister and I are driving into my mom's house, and the neighbor is having a little party with giraffes. And we flew 24 hours all the way to Africa to see giraffes, wild giraffes, did not see a thing. We go to Calabasas and they're having a birthday party where they hire giraffes.
But, where can you get giraffes? How do you get them?
Well, I rented a monkey for my mom for a week because she was missing the baby.
The monkey for your mom was a rental.
Yes.
Okay.
See, her zoo material's funny, Joe.
Oh, my God.
She's got some good animal stuff.
I mean, wow. Does she have a point?
I'm really stoned from watching that.
Does she have any point at all? I mean, maybe she does have
a
point.
Her point was that diamonds are good for
they pay
the general
for the schools
population.
And pay for the hospitals. That's what she's saying. I don't know. Maybe they do. And, you know, you can do that and still exploit children.
If you had to fuck Kim Kardashian or Aniston, which one?
I bet Jennifer Aniston knows how to throw it down.
Yeah.
I would imagine she knows how to throw it down.
If you could cut off her head.
And switch the bodies?
Which one?
Kardashian.
If you can cut off her head, why would you want to cut off her head?
No, I'm kidding. I would want to cut off her head.
She's really pretty.
She's very pretty. No, but she's so vapid that, I think she really cares if she's watching this, whether or not I'd want to fuck her or Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, probably. I think
Jennifer Aniston would be more fun.
Yeah, for sure.
She takes it.
I think. I don't know, though. I don't know. Kim Kardashian does have a porno with a black dude. That's a chick that's willing to go deep.
Sure, that's why I think Jennifer Aniston would be great.
You can't fail to disappoint her.
Exactly, that's right.
Yeah, whatever. What kind of conversation is this? Who would you fuck, Jennifer Aniston or... Well, how did it even get under her? Oh, it was like Jennifer Aniston's voice. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard out there for a chick. Chicks trying to be famous... You know, if she was doing the same thing that if Kim Kardashian was a guy, though, and she was doing what she's doing, like she would be like, especially for the marriage part, like she married for like 72 hours or whatever it was.
To that basketball player, right?
Yeah. Well, how long was she married for?
I think it
was a month or something like that. But whatever it was, you know, it's like.
It's a shame. They had
to think
it all.
That you do that and you do it as like a piece of it's a plot. It's like this is her life all of a sudden becomes theater. And they start introducing false things, right. Like false marriages, like hire some other high-profile guy to come in and marry her on the show, and then they break up. And wow, is that what they're doing? Because if it is what they're doing, it's pretty brilliant. It's if you think about what she's done, I mean, just tactically, the way she's sort of entered into the entertainment industry. Like, a lot of people get mad. They say she's vapid, she's this and that. But what she is she's been super successful in getting people to pay attention to her.
That's amazing.
It's fucking incredible. I mean, it's amazing what you can pull off when you are single-minded and you pursue that and, you do it the way she's done it. And obviously, you look like her.
Yeah, you know what it reminded me of going back when this kind of point hit you is when the O.J. trial, and Cato Kaelin went out and did comedy for a while, and for that one brief moment in time, he was more famous than almost any of the comedians.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Right at the top of the O.J. trial, Cato Kaelin was selling out the MGM,
and he was trying to do comedy.
Yeah, he did stand up.
Did he do it before?
No,
no. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh yeah. Well, Charlie Sheen. Ooh,
Charlie Sheen. Well, you know who did that? Who's got fucking balls? I've talked about it before, but Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy.
Oh, I know.
Didn't have a lot going on, like as far as his career, and then got on the Chappelle Show, and he was in his 40s, and then started doing stand up, and he was famous. And not only was he was famous of like the brother of one of the greatest stand ups ever. So he's got Charlie Murphy, his brother's Eddie Murphy. They look alike, and. You know, I mean, he's going out there. Literally, he's done comedy for like a couple of months.
And he had
a
close.
Fucking headlining.
Yeah, he had unbelievable.
He's got balls. That guy has fucking balls. We did a month Maxim tour on the road together. And Charlie Murphy, man, he's got fucking balls. That guy, we would alternate headlining. And he'd only been doing
comedy.
Wait, he
couldn't follow you.
He did. He did a couple times.
Mm-hmm. What did he do?
He did well.
Really?
Of all, he's a good storyteller, and people love him. And if he's in his right groove, he's just got to be comfortable. You know, when Charlie's comfortable, he's comfortable. He's got like a couple different gears. You know, and when he's comfortable and he's telling a story, there are very few people in the world as entertaining as that guy. He has this realistic sort of like aggressive kind of like real brutal honesty. You know, but with a cool voice, you know, he can tell a fuck out of a story.
Well, for brothers of famous people, I'll take Tony Rock.
Tony Rock's hilarious.
He's good, yeah.
He's very funny. That guy gets slept on. You know, I had seen him a couple of years ago, like way back, at the Laugh Factory, and he was really funny then. He was, like, promising, you know?
No, he's really good.
And then I saw him at the Improv, like, recently.
Yeah.
And I came up to him after his set. I was like, dude, you got way better. Like, that was, like, really fun to watch. It's fun to watch a guy that you haven't seen for years. And then you see him, and you're like, damn, you've been working. And he's like, oh, thanks, man. I'm like, I'm in the gym, you know? Yeah. Well, he's got the right attitude about it. He's fucking
and
good.
And it is in the gym. It is in the gym.
Corny as it sounds. Well, for us, it's the gym. You got to get on stage.
I mean, look at Bill Burr. I mean, I've seen him take strides, and he's so fucking good.
Perfect example. Yeah. Bill Burr was always really funny, but now it's like he's just he's super prolific, too. Now he's just nailing it, you know. It's just like he's constantly putting out new stuff, and you go to see him, it's, you know, it's fun. It's like, you know, I agree with him. I don't agree with him. I'm still laughing. He says something completely ridiculous and over-aggressive. I'm still laughing. Yeah. You know, it's fucking great. It's just... He's one of the last of the Boston comics, you know, that real, like, intelligent but, like, still manly, aggressive sort of comedians. There was a lot of guys
Lenny
like that
Clark.
In Boston. Yeah.
Lenny Clark and that whole group.
You know, that was one of the things that Dane Cook and I were talking about once about growing up and doing stand-up together in Boston was that those guys were men. They were fucking like Lenny Clark.
Oh, yeah, they were tough guys. They were comedians. They weren't like Nebuchadnezzar, problems with their mother kind of.
They were animals. Yeah. Lenny Clark was a fucking savage when I met him.
Oh, he was
I met
crazy.
Lenny right after you guys did. Didn't you do the HBO comedy special?
Yeah, the Rodney Dangerfield.
The Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
I got a chance to open. He was the second guy I ever got paid to open for. I used to forget about the first guy and pretend he was the first for a while. First time I ever got paid, I opened up for Lenny Clark because it sounds good, but it was really the second time. First time was a guy named Warren McDonald, who's actually a very funny guy too. But I worked with him right after he just got done doing the Rodney special. And oh my God, he's a fucking animal.
Such balls.
Oh, he was an animal.
We were up in Seattle to see the NCAAs, and these guys, they were fucking drinking all day. Don Gavin, all them. And we're at a party, and the CBS guy comes up to me, and he says, I'm a big fan of yours. And I didn't have a ticket. Lenny's at, like, Jackie Gleason, bigger than life. He goes, hey, if you're such a big fucking fan, get him a ticket to the game. And the guy goes, oh, okay. You know, sheepishly, like, what's he going to do?
What is that movie that, I think it's Fran Salamita did that movie on Boston Comedy?
Yeah.
How do you spell Fran Salamita?
I don't know.
R, F R Z,
yeah. Oh, when stand-ups, Fran Salamita, when stand-up stood out, which is a great documentary on stand-up comedy and about the one town, about Boston and what it was like, you know, back then. And it's a really accurate depiction because there's a lot of old video, like old video of Lenny Clark
that.
And those guys and Jimmy Tingle and then talking about the. The Ding Ho, like the Chinese restaurant was like the first place. Like, man, I was like right after that wave. Those guys were the big established headliners right when I was becoming an open micer.
They were good to me, too, because they could bury people if they wanted to. Nick's was tough.
Well, you know, for the people that don't know, Dom was one of the only guys that ever paid to see do comedy after I was a comedian. There was only like a few guys once I became a comedian, like once I had done like open mic nights. But I went to see
you. Remember how much it cost to see me?
I wish I did.
Did you bring a date?
I went to see you a couple times.
Did I get you laid too?
I went to see you before I ever did stand up, I'm pretty sure. It was either right before or right when I was doing it. But I went to see you, and you didn't make the flight. Something happened.
Really?
And Dennis Leary was in your place. It was the first time I ever saw Dennis Leary. He fucking destroyed.
Yeah, Dennis
I remember
was always good.
Back then, he was on fire. He was my favorite comedian for 6 months until until I saw Bill Hicks. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
See, I didn't see as much as other people did with the parallels. And Bill was a friend of mine, but... Yeah,
Bill had a funny joke about it. Oh, he actually had invented. He went back in time and did the jokes before, stole them, then went back in time and did them before and added punchlines.
Right.
I don't know. I think I butchered the quote, but you know when they asked him like you know who stole it from who.
Well, you know what my nightmare was about the HBO thing about Rodney Dangerfield was like I'd rather not get a compliment than the compliment I would get. I'd have somebody come up to me and go, man, you're my favorite on that show. Beat you and that guy Dice. Don't fucking compliment me if you're going to compare
See, you,
us.
See, you have always had a problem with Dice, and now you and Dice have actually gotten into it. But when I was a kid, man, I was a fucking huge fan of Dice. And
well, yeah,
I
were
I don't
a kid.
Think there's anything wrong. I like his comedy. It doesn't bother me. I like it.
Oh, his comedy doesn't bother me. I just don't like him.
You don't like him?
Yeah.
I never have a bad problem with him. I've never... Had any issues with him.
How can you be a 50, 60-year-old Fonz?
See, I look at him, I think he's a character. You look at him as like he's some guy who disrespected you or something.
Yeah.
Something happened, right?
There's only three comedians I hate.
Three? Let me guess one. Billy Crystal.
I don't consider him a comedian.
What is that about? Because I heard there was...
Billy Crystal was such an asshole to me. I was
really?
I was, you know, and he was always been really nice to me, but he was with De Niro, and I was hosting this thing for Comedy Central, and we're doing a review of that shit movie, Analyze That. Remember the first one was good, Analyze This? It was the De Niro movie.
Yeah, and then the second one wasn't good?
Yeah, but he got, all of a sudden, he's buddying up with De Niro, and he starts, like, acting condescending towards me, so I fucked with him right away. I go, Billy, are you hosting the Academy Awards this year? He goes, I don't know why. I said, can you mention me to the people at the Academy? He goes, for what? I go, I don't know, some kind of award. You figure it out. Then he realized I had duped him.
Some kind of award. You figure it out. Yeah, he lost his sense of humor, right?
Yeah, he got too cool. But, I mean, you know, he was always all right at the beginning.
But in that situation, he lost his sense of
humor. Oh, yeah. Well, he was trying to act like him and De Niro were these dear friends. And I'm thinking, this is Robert De Niro sitting next to you. Come on, Billy. You're Billy Crystal.
People love to be friends with someone like De Niro. You can put that shit on your resume. Yeah. Hey, I'm going over Bobby D's house for barbecue this weekend.
Oh, no.
I did a reading with him.
Gross.
I did. Rarely do I get impressed.
You imagine someone saying that to you and wearing like a running track suit while they're saying it?
Fuck that noise.
Those like fake Italian immigrants. These immigrants to California from the East Coast, fake Italian dudes who were always connected. You know, those the guys were always trying to break into acting. Those this fake tough guy dudes.
Right, right.
Oh, go to Bobby D's house.
Yeah.
Good guy, that Bobby D. Yeah, who else? Who else is it real? Sean Connery. Yeah. If you could say you're friends with Sean Connery. I'm going fly fishing with Sean Connery, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's people who have to drop, it's even like countries. Yeah, I got these, they're nice shoes. Yeah, I got them in France. You know, like that makes it a fucking big deal.
That's
hilarious. You got them in France.
Would you be friends with, what's his face? The guy from Pulp Fiction? Shit, that's, oh my God, I just had a brain fart.
John Travolta?
Yeah, John Travolta.
I think he'd fuck you. I think if you're friends, that's what happens. He fucks you.
Somebody,
friend.
I heard on some radio station.
What a pal.
What's the other guy that was in Greece that recently died from a drug overdose? So that was at Kaniki or not? Is it Kaniki?
Greece that recently died of a drug overdose?
Yeah, the other main guy in Greece that was in Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, is he the guy that was in from Taxi?
Yeah.
Is that the guy?
Oh, shit.
Because I think you're talking about Jeff something or another.
The one that just recently died.
I don't know. I don't know that guy's name.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
I had heard that. You see, I've only really watched Celebrity Rehab once, and I get depressed. I don't like watching people that are falling apart. I don't like taking in that vibe. You know? I know. I mean, occasionally I like to know it's...
Jeff Conway.
Know what... Jeff Conway. Is that the guy?
Yeah. He said that he actually spent the night once at his house. And supposedly, this is what I heard on a radio show, that he went over there to spend the night at his house, and he crashed, and he woke up, and he was fondling him. Like, just...
Oh,
like
who was fondling him? Travolta?
Travolta was fondling him.
Oh, Jesus.
And then Mike...
I hate that. Don't you hate when you wake up and one of your friends is playing with your balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, just me.
You wake up, and the dude from Pulp Fiction is sucking your dick.
Oh, God.
Really?
And then,
really?
And then Mike,
if I let you suck my dick, will you leave me alone?
Mike Wallace, I heard that. Mike Wallace from whatever the Inquirer is or whatever he works for that released all this shit, said, like, they asked him, you know, like, is this shit fake? Are you guys just trying, you know, are these people really telling the truth? And they're like, dude, we give them lie detector tests. We fucking, like, go and check. Like, if they say any detail, like, going to, like, hotels or something like that, they get it. This was on the Howard Stern show that he said this.
Wow.
And stuff like that. Then all these people are all telling the truth. Like, all of them.
So all these masseuses are all telling the truth?
Yeah, is that crazy?
Well, who knows? We don't know. We don't have an official stance on this.
Oh, I don't.
Joe Rogan Experience podcast, nor Brian Redman.
I'm just regurgitating what I've been hearing.
I happen to know, but I'm not talking.
Oh.
Dom,
soft, you know what I'll be talking about?
Tell us about the time that you worked as a masseuse for the Hollywood Elite.
I'm not talking. You know what I'll be talking? June 30th at the Tropicana in Atlantic City. That's when I'll be talking.
Those big manly hands that you have, I bet you would give a good massage.
My hands are very soft.
You know
are they?
Yeah.
They could toughen up quickly.
You know what would be a good show is Dom and Joey Diaz dressed up as women, like bosom buddies, but with them.
Man.
Wouldn't that be the funniest?
I never thought I'd say this, but I'd be the hot one.
Wouldn't that be awesome if it was like Golden Girls, maybe throwing another person?
I like seeing people like Joey because it makes me feel not as fat. I'm not that fat.
Yeah, I do a joke about like, no matter how chaotic my life is, when I'm hanging around with Joey Diaz, I'm like, I'm fine. It's just like a balancer, a leveler.
He's your canary in the coal mine.
He's my canary in the coal mine.
I love
Joey,
and I always love to know what he's thinking.
Oh, he's
when
an
he
animal.
Has that look on his face.
Joey Diaz could just read the newspaper and have you crying laughing.
Yeah.
Just point out anything. I've never met a dude who makes me laugh like that guy does on a consistent basis. He gets fucking crazy. He'll get crazy about ketchup.
But he's
funny. This ain't fucking ketchup, Joe Rogan. When I was Cuban back in Jersey, we had fucking ketchup. It was real ketchup. This is some watery bullshit. It doesn't taste like... He'll get fucking angry. No, Heinz is actually pretty good. The fuck out of here, Heinz! You fucking Momo's buying up Heinz.
Joe, I just got off the road with him, right? And in one of the hotels we stayed at had a business center. He's like, come on, you got to go to the business center with me. And just watching him sit here checking his thingamajiggers, like, look at that picture. Like, he's just sitting there like with his glasses on doing the computer system.
I worked with him at Miami Improv, and the whole day he hung at the club so he could use the phone.
Really?
Just to make local calls. He could fucking do it from the room, but she chose to do it from the club.
He used to, he used to not even have a cell phone. Yeah. For the longest time, Joey just had a pager. Mm. When everybody else had a cell phone, Joey still had a pager. Yeah. He would just, you would never be able to find him.
Dude, now he's embraced it. Man, he has number one fucking CD on iTunes. Comedy. That's crazy.
He's gone completely digital.
Really?
Well, we got Joey on Twitter, and then Joey started really getting into it. For a while, like, fuck this MySpace, Facebook. What the fuck am I doing online?
Right.
Yeah. And then after a while, I'm not sending you a fucking text message, Joe Rogan. You know, remember you had a whole video about you sending him text messages and he would get angry.
Yep.
We made a video about it. It was one of the earliest videos that were called, that was a Death Squad one, right? What number was it?
No, that was Joey Diaz Ready to Die.
Oh, Joey Diaz Ready to Die. God damn it. If you can find that, is that online somewhere?
Yeah.
What's his help?
Yeah, you got it's a brilliant, brilliant video. It's
what's
one
his
of
help like, Joe? Is he working?
He's alive. He's a science project. If Joey Diaz just sits you down and goes over all the substances, dog, all the years, all the Pink Floyd albums I listened to, motherfucker, if he wouldn't go over his history, you'd be like, there's no way he could be alive. How's this guy? How is it possible?
It's unfair.
He's healthy as a horse. Joey Diaz is a fucking savage. He'll live to be 1,000.
It's amazing, isn't it? You ever think, like, these high school football players die on a field from dehydration?
Yeah.
And then you get guys who wake up every day think, how can I kill myself today? And they're still alive.
Well, Joey's really healthy now. He lost a lot of weight, good. Too. He lost, like, 80 pounds. He lost a lot of weight because he got real big for a while, and it sucked because, like, we would go places. Like, we would go to the airport, and, like, he hated when he had, like, a long walk to the rental car.
Well, that's a bad sign.
Yeah. It's like, you know, he was getting big. But he had, you know, and he didn't want to do it with surgery. He just did it with his will. He just got on Weight Watchers and slowly shed it away.
How do you get on Weight Watchers on the road, though? How do you cook the shit and all?
I think it's like they give you like a point system. I think the way it works is like, you know, pizza is X amount of points and this is that amount of points. You get so many points a day. And they have it broken down where really healthy things are like very few points. Like I think like celery is like 0 points. You could just eat celery by itself all day.
Yeah, because that's mostly water.
Yeah, you can't even. It actually is really good for you. It cleans your poop shoot out.
Oh, that's good to know.
It's tremendous.
Speaking of Travolta,
I drink this kale shake that has a lot of celery. It has five stalks of celery in it. So I take every day five stalks of celery. Five stalks of celery, a big bushel, a big fucking leaf of kale, pears, garlic, ginger, and it grinds it all up and makes it like a soupy, like pea soup, very much like pea soup.
Now, were you in a cover of a magazine?
I was on a couple of
like with the
martial arts magazines. Martial arts,
yeah. I heard. I haven't seen that. I want to see it.
Yeah,
you're like split in half. You're like doing a split.
One of them. Yeah, I think I was throwing it. No, you know what? On the black belt one, no, I was just standing there like a
douchebag.
You're
posing like.
I looked really stupid. I should have never let them make me pose like that. They're like, why don't you like cross your arms, look at the camera, like you're very serious. Yeah. So that's what I did, and then I was like, ew. Ew.
I suppose the
two what message is that? I should be smiling.
Do you think you could beat the two of us if we just like charged you right
now?
I would
hope I would never have to know. Yeah, how douchey do I look?
And look at your old tattoo right there. It's thank you.
My poor tattoo, it's still there. I got to get it lasered off to finish my right sleeve, the Aaron Dellavedova sleeve. Well,
that's graphics bong, right?
No. It was like a thing that I drew. It was like a demon with a jester's mask on it.
It's so crazy because I always thought it was the graphics bong. It's I was similar. Like, damn, that dude loves fucking weed.
It's so stupid. It's such a stupid little tattoo. Well, I was an artist. I actually drew that, you know. And when I was a kid, I used to draw a lot of demons with, like, hats. And demons, like, demons with baseball hats on and shit, like, standing over little kids' beds.
Oh, jeez.
I used to draw some creepy shit. And I drew that, and so that was my first tattoo.
I just noticed it says, Joe Rogan proves fear is not a factor.
Yeah. How young were you, Joe?
I guess I was in my early 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Fear Factor went on for like 6 years.
Were you still in your 20s when I met you?
Yes. Yeah, when we met, I was really young. You and I met when we did Montreal together. We did Showtime.
That's right.
I think I was only like 24 or 25.
And then we met in New York at the David Brenner's pool.
Yeah,
hall.
Yeah. We played pool together. We met at Amsterdam. And Dom's one of the few. I brought my cue today. Dom's one of those guys we threatened to play each other like once a month. That's what we always say. We try to do it. But sometimes we'll go like years. Did you show me splits. Doing splits?
Oh, that's the one I was talking about.
Now, if I was a gay man.
Holy shit.
I'd be into me. I just did a new thing for this Fighters Only magazine. Just did a more recent one where I don't look as good.
What's the last fight you've been in? Like a real fight?
Like a fist fight?
Like a street fight.
Not since I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I avoid everything.
You got to. You kill people the way you...
Or you get stabbed or shot or... Guess what? There's a lot of people out there that know how to fight. They might beat your fucking ass.
Yeah.
You know, like the idea of going around getting in fights with people is like almost everything we could get along without that. Almost every situation in life can get along without someone beating the fuck out of somebody. Almost everyone.
Well, that's what I was saying today.
And when it's not, when you can't get along without it, it's like, well, you're in the presence of some sort of a dangerous, scary person who's not thinking clearly.
You think Brian, like, who do you think would win that fight?
Brian would, he would just quit right away.
Get out of breath?
He has this move.
Are you ticklish?
I don't know.
Seriously, like, if I go over there and just give you a little tickle.
I never got tickled by a guy.
What if I just give you a little tickle right now?
He just drops his pants, and he opens up his butt, and the vision is so horrific, and his shirt falls down into his armpits, so his gut hangs down, and he's just opening up his asshole as wide as can be. You'll just run away. You won't want none of that.
Okay.
What he's willing to do to you?
Yes.
And then you come close to him, he'll try to lick you or something. It's like, you don't want that. You don't want that. He'll just grab your face and just start licking you.
I'm glad I asked.
He'll tongue kiss you. He would tongue kiss you to get out of trouble. He would tongue kiss you. He'd just grab you and just start making out with you. And you would run. You would run. You know, every animal has its own way of defending itself in its environment. You know, like octopuses, they blend in. They can become camouflaged, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of animals. They blend in with the reef, right, Dom Herrera?
Yes,
that's why Nemo was so brightly colored.
Is that why?
So Nemo could blend in with the reef.
I was hoping we'd get to Nemo by this point in the show.
I assume. Well, that's a beautiful fish. Why would nature want something so brightly colored?
Because it's cute.
It's pretty fucking bizarre, man, when you think about the colors that nature has chosen and stuck with as far as designs of things. Like, tigers, like a big, giant, crazy killing machine that's beautiful with like white and like different stripes to it. It's not just like, why does it have to have different stripes to it? It's obviously just fucking things up. That's all this thing does. Like, it's not worried about anybody. Like, that thing has no natural predator. So it's completely fearless. So it's expressing itself as boldly as it wants to. It's not hiding from shit. It's on the apex of the predators. You know, but why is it so beautiful? Why is it colored like that? Like, what benefit of natural selection was it that the tigers that made it to maturity and lived the longest and decided to, you know, outbreed the others were the ones that were brightly colored and beautiful? That's wild, man.
You know how we find new species all the time? Wouldn't it be cool if we found, like, new colors once in a while? Like, oh, we just found this new color. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah, like, if they just figure out, like, something that they can add, like, hard disk space to your optical nerves, and all of a sudden you see a broader spectrum of colors.
Or just a different color. Like imagine, because we grew up with all these colors, but if you just threw a new color into the mix and it blew all the charts.
You know, it's amazing that you guys smoke a pot doesn't seem to affect you.
I mean, is it possible that there could be another color? I don't know enough about colors.
I don't know, because we have this whole graph, like the color wheel and rainbows and shit, to like go on as proof, and like that's the only thing that's color, the spectrum. But what if there's something just throws a wrench into that mix, and now you're like, oh, that's...
Is that, I mean, that has to have happened throughout history, right? Where they thought they had shit blended, figured out. Right. Like, well, how about those assholes that were using leeches? How the fuck did that ever happen?
The bloodletting.
Were they had doctors that were using leeches? Like, they didn't actually, they had gone to doctor school, and they're like, leeches appear to help. Like,
well, how about bloodletting, Joe?
Oh,
the worst thing you could fucking do for a sick person is let more blood out.
Lobotomy.
And they thought there was bad blood inside of them.
Poison
Jesus
blood.
Christ. There was so much stupidity when it came to the human anatomy and how to fix things.
They used to use leeches on black eyes for fighters.
Oh, Jesus.
They did. On the swollen eye, they put a leech. It would suck the blood out.
Do you remember in Rocky that he couldn't see out of his eye?
So cut me, Mick.
He actually asked him to cut him.
Yeah.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me. What kind of nonsense is that?
I've done that during sets.
But isn't that ridiculous? Like, no one ever done that.
No.
Why'd they put that in the movie? God damn it. Sly, I want some answers.
Come on. Burgess Meredith
is
dead.
That guy is fucking way bigger than everybody says he is. I am so tired of everybody telling me that Sylvester Stallone is like this little tiny guy. Like, people have this some weird thing to take guys like him and Tom Cruise and go, yeah, well, he's only 5'1".
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, maybe he's got fucking billions and maybe he looks good at 70, but he's only fucking 5'3".
But he does wear heels.
I'm 5'8" and he's bigger than me.
But he wears heels. He's not really.
Whatever he's wearing.
I'm telling you.
He's a big guy.
I've met him a few times.
His physical width. Like, that's a thick dude, man.
Can I tell you what he said to me, which is fucking hilarious? What
did he say to you?
Well, I met him at this thing. The name drop was Bruce Willis was at the opening in Montreal for Planet Hollywood. And very nicely, though, he comes up to me, and I'm with Sophie, and he goes, hey, Dom, I'm Sly. I don't know if I met you in Paul Reiser's thing. And I go, yeah, Sly, I remember you. I'm thinking, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, den-da-da-den-da-da-den-da-da-den. This is fucking Rocky. This
right,
is Rambo.
Right, right.
Do I remember you? Are you fucking kidding me?
I got a chance to interview him for one of the UFCs. He was, I think it was before The Expendables or one of his movies. And I got a chance to interview him. And I was like, this is crazy, man. Because when I was a kid, I mean, how many people have told him this story? I saw his movie, and then I went out and I ate raw eggs and ran around the block
trying to catch a chicken.
I ate raw eggs. I did, just like he did it. I put on a sweatsuit and I ran around the block like a fucking idiot. I was so inspired. I hadn't done any martial arts training at all at this point.
You know what? It was the perfect movie for that kind of inspiration.
Yeah.
It was so interesting how touching that simple movie can be.
There was something. We love watching someone try to pull something off. People love underdogs.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but the UFC light heavyweight champ, John Jones, just got into a car accident. Do you know about this?
No.
He's okay. He was drunk, though. And apparently, allegedly, the story is that at least they arrested him for DUI. Okay. I don't know whether or not he was drunk. I don't know. The full particulars of the story, but so many people are like shitting on this kid, you know, and angry with him, as they should be for anybody who's driving drunk and anybody who loses control of their car and crashes into a tree. But I think there's a little extra venom about this guy because he's so successful, because he's like, it's come so easy to him. And it's not easy. Obviously, it's hard work, but he's been like dominating all these people. And I think we like to shoot people down when they get too big. We like to look for the first flaw. And this, and make no mistake about it, there's no like apology for what he's done, because what he's done scares the fuck out of me. The one thing that I'm terrified of is finding, you know, myself on the road and seeing someone who's drunk coming towards you who doesn't have control of their car. It's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
And we've seen drunks on the highway before. It's a scary, scary fucking thing. So this guy loses control of his car and slams into a pole. You know, whatever the fuck caused him to do that, that's bad. That's fucking real bad. But I think people are also like chipping away at this dude as a human because he's been so successful so quick. And because he sort of tries to promote himself as like, you know, a God-fearing man, and, you know, he tries to promote himself as like a good Christian. And because of that, you know, when he makes a mistake and does something fucked up, people like really go after him. Because you can't, it's very difficult when you set like a big example, you know, and you want to set an amazing path for kids, and then you do something like you know, you say that's what you're doing, and you say you're going to be a hero for these kids, and then boom, you have this horrible situation happen.
Well, everybody's waiting for Tim Tebow to fail.
They're waiting
for him to get pictures of him fucking a goat or something. You know what I mean? They would love that.
Look, I think it's the whole thing is it's a fucking tragedy on the human, the human personality, the individual that allows themselves to get to a situation where they smash a car into a tree because they're fucked up on a drug.
Yeah,
it's scary because you're taking all of our lives at risk too with your, you know, your craziness. You know, I just
I don't drive since the DUI. I had a DUI. I don't fucking drive.
The appeal of Rocky is the same appeal that we all want to see somebody rise up and stop the unstoppable, and
beat up a black guy.
And when someone's really good, we want him to fail. We secretly wanted Tyson to fail before he failed. And then when he failed, people, like, there was like a weight lifted off the world of like a million men.
You like to see the bully knocked down.
Yeah.
And they're never the same. Sure. He was never the same after that. He never fought the same. He never had the same confidence.
Well, I think you could only maintain the sort of pace that he was doing. You could only, depending upon your personality, but it could only go for a few years. The amount of rage.
It was menacing, wasn't it?
Oh, he was the best ever. He would come everybody wants to say, but Ali was a great fighter, no doubt about it. Tyson was better. I really think Tyson was better. I think Tyson in his prime, like the Marvis Frazier prime, I don't think Ali would have been able to keep him off.
I was ringside when he fought Michael Spinks in Atlantic City. It was scary. It was like up jumped the devil. Like smoke was coming out of his nostrils.
He took shit to a whole new level.
It was unbelievable.
There was a bunch of guys I was a big boxing fan in high school, and this was around that time that Tyson sort of rose to prominence, like right when I was getting out of high school. It was like the cover of Sports Illustrated. They called him Wonder Kid, and he was 19 years old. And he was just fucking smashing people.
Can you imagine when he was like robbing purses? How scary that would have been.
Oh my god, he was such an amazing specimen, but he's also intelligent and just the physical speed that guy had while maintaining, you know, 220, 200, and, you know, whatever pounds he was, was incredible. No, we'd never had anybody that could punch that fast. The Marvis Frazier fight is one of the worst maulings in a professional heavyweight fight ever, of all time.
Well, I'll tell you what was bad. Randall Cobb, when he got beat by Larry Holmes.
That wasn't as bad.
But we wanted him to go down. We were all friends with him. Go down, Randall. Go down. I know he couldn't, but it was horrible.
That was a ferocious beating. But you know what he did after that? He went to school and got a master's degree. You know, that guy, like, he got out of boxing, did acting, and I don't know if he suffers anything from his career.
Yeah, he does. You know, you talk to him, and he repeats himself.
There's no way around that, man.
And then you'll talk to him, and he'll repeat himself.
There's no way around that. That's scary shit. You know, getting struck in the head on a repeated basis. And there's a lot of guys that suffer what they call pugilistic dementia.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of guys suffer it that never even go pro, just guys who have good gym fights.
Well, you know Maymay Ali. You know her, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And she would tell me, she goes, my father knows everything that's going on. His body's just failing him. But his mind is right there. He's like trapped in his body.
Oh, could you imagine, man?
Well, you know, that's what cracks me about the football thing. with like all the research they're doing on concussions. Of course they're concussions.
Of course. Course.
Like every 40 seconds, they're like in a car accident.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's that much, but it's pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
If you look at some
they've
of those.
They've always, that's football. They used to call them dingers.
What's the biggest linebacker they have now? Who's the biggest?
I don't know. I don't know who the biggest
give
is.
Give me a big, big fucking scary
like
guy.
Like 6'5", for a linebacker, 270, that'd be pretty big. You know, but fast. That's the thing. You have to remember, they're fucking fast.
Oh.
And they're hitting you. With a lot
and
of
and they're super athletes.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, they're super. Oh.
You know, Herschel Walker's still beating the fuck out of people.
I know.
Do you know that? Well, 48 years old.
He was a phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what a freak combination of like a guy who's completely driven is a natural super
plus
athlete
a multiple
has incredible discipline.
He had multiple personality too. You know? He came in with different personalities in therapy. You heard about
yeah,
that,
yeah, I
right?
did hear about that.
How fucking crazy is that?
Wasn't that supposedly trauma induced? Like,
oh, I don't know.
I thought that that was one of the issues, that this was something related to his football career.
Yeah, that I don't know, but I just know that imagine him coming in as Big Sue.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hi, Big Sue. How you feeling today?
I'm going to look this up.
What, multiple personality?
Yeah.
You know, what I think it is, all of a sudden I'm a therapist, but it's not a psychosis. It's an erotic disorder, personality.
Erotic?
No, neurotic.
Oh, I thought you said erotic. Huh? So I was like, hey, Dom.
I find
my
that very
dick's getting
erotic.
Hot just listening to this year. Oh!
Oh, dish.
Multiple personality, trauma induced.
Is that what it says?
No, I'm Googling that, sorry.
But
I believe it did have something to do with that. Yeah, trauma induced. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. The disorder usually has its roots in childhood trauma.
Oh, so it could be emotional trauma too.
Could be that, yeah.
Like Sybil had that.
Yeah, okay.
You remember Sybil?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very dear friend of mine.
Her and Bobby D and I used to get brunch.
Hey.
Stepford Wives.
At the Beverly Hills Hotel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, he's talking also about how he became a completely different guy when he was playing. That's wild. That's
brought out his rage, right?
Yeah. He said his exact quote was, "You don't want the Herschel that plays football babysitting your child." Isn't that crazy?
I'll punt that baby.
Could you imagine that coming out of Herschel Walker's mouth? How
no.
scary that would be?
No.
You do not want the Herschel that plays football babysitting your child. He fucking said
even
that
he would think of that. Woo! Is scary.
Yeah. Well, he's ruthless. I mean, I think to get that good at something, like as good as Herschel Walker was at football,
yeah.
I really do believe that madness and excellence are just next door neighbors. I really do. I think in order to hit the levels of proficiency that those guys hit, like the true greats, like a guy like Jordan,
well,
a Jordan guy like Herschel Walker.
Jordan's a good example because he's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
he's
course.
One of those guys. Like when he did his acceptance speech for the Hall of Fame, he was complaining about people who rejected him. Like instead of taking it, going, "Hey, I'm number one," he came angry at it.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that, you know, they never find peace. Their life is always chasing something, chasing, you know, a win, chasing a victory, chasing whatever the fuck it is.
Don't you love that about stand-up, Joe? Like, we can get better until we get fucking conked on the head.
It's true.
But no matter what Jordan does, no matter what nutrition, he can go visit the monks in Nepal. Nothing's going to make him Michael Jordan again. Nothing.
The physical body wanes a lot quicker than the mind, but we're going to be shitting our pants and dying in fear just like him.
Hey, you'll be walking me. You'll come and visit me at the home before I'll come and visit you.
Well, who knows? Who knows how we all go, but it's not going to be good. But Herschel Walker is at 48 years old. He's fucking shredded. Shredded. I don't know if he's going to fight again, but he's had a bunch of MMA fights. I think he's had three.
Well, he's
or
the
four.
One that used to do like 2,000 sit-ups and 1,000
push-ups.
Yeah,
he still does. Still does that crazy shit. He does all calisthenics. He's just a freak. He's so goddamn strong. He takes these guys he's good. He's physically talented. Like I know he's like a black belt in some martial art, karate or taekwondo or something along those lines. So he physically knows how to kick and punch. And then, you know, he's been training at AKA, which is a big gym up in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
One of the like big gyms in the country as far as MMA is concerned. Like Josh Koscheck came out of there. John Fitch. A lot of good guys, like real good. Gilbert Melendez, Josh Thompson, rather, came out of there. Gilbert Melendez and him just fought this past weekend. Fucking incredible fight. Holy shit, that was amazing.
When do you announce a fight again?
This weekend, this upcoming weekend.
Where is it?
Vegas.
Fuck, I love it. I think you're so fucking good at that.
It's fun. Thanks.
I don't make it the Sammy Moylan show, but you really you really break it down and you make people understand it. Like I told you that before, it's like so much fun because your enthusiasm, but you know what you're talking about, but you're not above. Like I don't even know what the fuck some guys are talking about. He threw a right klasanga. You know they're making.
Yeah, there's a little of that that goes on where they gets like real sports specific. I'll say like he hit him with the 3-2 and you know dig in with the 5. Like come on, man, how many motherfuckers out there watching at home know what a 5 is? You know,
I don't know.
It's but punches are 1 is the jab, 2 is a straight right hand, 3 is a left hook, 4 is a right uppercut. It's depending on who's
so what's
system.
A 5?
I don't know. It's like probably a liver hook. I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
You can't go that far and not tell me the 5, Joe.
They'll go as far as like trying too hard. You get a lot of like sports guys that do that. They like try too hard to like use the correct phrases.
Right.
They'll say like exotic shit, but they'll get it wrong. Like this is a Kimura. It's Americana. It's completely, you know, it's different situation. See how the grip is. It's totally different. But you know they're calling it out anyway because it sounds like the cool sports guy thing to know that the omoplata is a good one.
There's a guy named
know how to say that.
There's a guy named Walt Frazier who's an old guy. He's played for the Knicks and he announces Knicks games and he does that.
Yeah,
he does it. It was you know juxtaposition of the imperialistic.
Get out of here, bitch!
It's like come on.
Is there anything grosser?
Remember when Dennis Miller used to make references? Like to the Tigris and Euphrates River.
Yeah,
and these fucking guys in Pittsburgh are watching a game drinking. But what you talking about? The what?
Dennis Miller had the weirdest act going on for a long time.
But this was
like
when
that.
He was on Monday Night Football. I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, he pissed a lot of people off on that, didn't he?
Yeah,
because he was trying to like insert jokes into it.
Yeah, but I mean also with his references and you know, they're like one time I did.
Enjoy his first two specials.
Oh, he's
like,
a good comedian.
Like
there's
his
no
first.
Doubt.
He before he became all crazy right winger, he got a little deep end after 9/11 ish. He went a little pro Bush ish.
Yeah.
But you go back to like his earlier stuff. He's fucking a very funny comic.
You know, it's amazing. I was asking a writer, and you know the guy. I won't say him on the air, but he wrote for Dennis, Jon Stewart, and Bill Maher. And he said by far Dennis was the most decent guy to work with.
He's a great guy to talk to. I've done his radio show a few times. He's a great guy to talk to.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I would. There's a lot of guys that I enjoy talking to. Like, there's a guy named Sam Harris that I had on the podcast. He's very much like I thought he was. He's a brilliant dude, but he shares a lot of like a lot of the same sort of ideas that a lot of right wing people share, like about like the good ideas about war and the good things that we're doing by going over to these other countries and ignoring and minimalizing all the bad shit and ignoring and minimalizing all the damage that it does to these societies and the fact that people are profiting from it.
See, I would just like it explained to me. Like the way I was saying you explain martial arts, or AMA rather, I would just like somebody explain to me why we're in Afghanistan. What the whole purpose? I don't know. I still don't fucking know.
It's a massive mind fuck. If you really sit down with someone who tells you on one side that it's an important thing as far as stabilizing that region and keeping Al-Qaeda from getting a stronghold and blah, 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 blah. You know, you can listen to that and you go, wow, okay, I see the point. You know, maybe our military is working hard to keep us safe and they know better than us and, you know, that's why they're there and they know there's a threat there. But then when you look at it on the other side and you go, you know, you talk to someone who is very educated in the history of the ways of this country and they explain to you what's most likely going on is that there's resources over there that we need to control. Whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, the Russians couldn't beat them. They could walk there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we're apparently supposed to leave now. You know, that's what Obama's saying. You know, and Obama's having these things while he's running for re-election where he's sitting down with Karzai, who, by the way, Karzai's brother, somehow or another he got busted being in cahoots with the opium dealers down in Afghanistan, and he was getting CIA money. So this guy was, like, working with the opium trade, getting CIA money. And he's the brother of the president of Afghanistan.
Of course. It's all crooked.
But it's amazing how it's. You don't even have to look for. It's not like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like his fucking brother is in the heroin.
There's no degrees. He's right there.
You know what, man? I don't know. I look at both sides, both arguments of the pro argument is very shaky in my opinion. But
I can understand the Saddam Hussein paranoia, but the Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. My brother Joe's a colonel in the Marines.
I think the thing is the worried about Al-Qaeda taking control of the area, okay. The Taliban taking control of the resources. Apparently, the idea is that there's a lot of money to be made in that country.
They don't have oil, though, Afghanistan.
They have a lot of minerals.
Oh, okay.
A lot of minerals. Trillions of dollars in minerals. Mm-hmm. And there's natural gas. That's what the Soviets were trying to control. And then there's the opium trade. That people don't want to believe it. But that's the reality is the poppies, the production has gone up through the fucking roof since America occupied. I mean, all the statistics are available online. You know, you can look at it. People don't want to believe it, but they're not stopping it. No one in the United States that goes over there, none of those army guys are stopping the production of poppies. In fact, they're guarding poppy fields, and that's a fact. And
Americans are guarding poppy
poppy fields.
That's hilarious.
People don't believe it. Brian, pull that shit up, because we've had this on the podcast before. Unfortunately, people have heard about this before. It's a nutty situation. A lot of that stuff. You know, I don't know what they use it for. If it's for pharmaceutical drugs, which that is a legitimate
use for bagels
for that stuff, or if it's getting sold right into the heroin market, I don't fucking know. But to pretend that this isn't a factor, that these trillions of dollars, oh please, conspiracy theory, blah blah blah. You're talking about something that generates just fucking insane amounts of money, insane amounts of money. And I wonder how much pressure something like this, like some sort of a business venture like this, has on the introduction and the legalization of other drugs in this country. You know, the only way they could pull off a heroin deal like this is if heroin's illegal. So everything gets moved in under the table, everything gets snuck in through, you know, prearranged shipping routes, everything's clandestine. You know, that's really the only way to do it, because otherwise other people are going to do it.
Now, are we still getting opium from Afghanistan?
Of course we are.
Well,
how does it
get through?
Where's it going? Look, they're making 90%+ of the world's opium in Afghanistan. 90%+. That's insane. I mean, just that number alone is almost like a joke. It's almost like this is a comic book.
Yeah, yeah.
And we find out that the bad guy lives in a place where all the opium is, and we got to let these people grow. The bad guy is the opium. How about that?
The opium takes care of the schools, yeah. Just like in Botswana, the diamonds to help them.
You want to find the enemy in Afghanistan? It's heroin. That's the enemy. But if you like it, go for it, especially if you're a musician, because they make good shit when they're on heroin. A lot of them do.
Yeah.
You know?
Eric Clapton was best when he was on heroin.
Yeah, I mentioned Hendrix before, but apparently I've been corrected that Hendrix didn't do heroin until after he made his music. He put out his studio albums, and then he started fucking around with heroin.
Is that what he died on? Overdose?
No, he died on a bunch of shit, man. There's a lot of people that believe that he was murdered. Like his former manager had a roadie, and the roadie just released a book about it. The roadie, I think, was also in a band himself when he was younger, like the Animals or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
And this, I think that's the story. And anyway, the roadie apparently said that Jimmy had a really fucking dangerous manager. And his manager was like mob connected and shit. And he did a lot of fucked up things. And one of the things he claims he did was kidnap Jimi Hendrix. His own manager had guys kidnap Jimmy and leave him in a hotel for 3 days. And then he rescued him. In quotes,
oh, okay.
To show him how powerful he is, how he can get anything done, and they all like, please, we didn't know he was with you, you know. And this guy, oh, you stay with me, Jimmy. I'll protect you from these guys. Well, apparently, he also had like, you know, there was a big life insurance policy that they're saying was on Jimi Hendrix. Now that the veracity of that, I don't know. You'd have to check. I'm not really into it enough that I'm gonna Wikipedia the latest.
who died in the 60s?
Who the fuck knows, you know? But the other thing was that Jimi Hendrix's girlfriend at the time, she was killed. Somebody threw her off the top of a roof of a building in somewhere in New York. But the speculation was that that had to do with Jimi Hendrix's death. You know, if you wanted to paint a beautiful conspiracy mystery, how you would go with it. Whether or not that's true or not.
My favorite conspiracy goes back to Michael Jordan. They said that
because he didn't pay a lot of his golf bets.
That was a big thing.
His father was killed over that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his father was killed in North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
I said that was connected to that. Who knows?
Oh, my
so many
God.
Conspiracy theories, but.
Holy shit, is that scary.
But he was a big gambler, I know that.
Well, I know there was an article that was written in, like, Esquire or one of those. It was Esquire or maybe Vanity Fair. I don't remember what magazine it was. But it was an article that was written by a guy who was a golf hustler who Michael Jordan owed, like, $500,000.
Oh, yeah. He never paid up. I heard he goes to places and buys and has dinner and doesn't pay.
Oh, wow.
Just because they, you know, he graced them with his presence.
Wow. Really?
Doesn't tip. They call Scottie Pippen no tipping Pippen.
Yeah, I heard that. That's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's amazing that a guy can get so successful and still be so selfish. You know? Maybe it's just he works so fucking hard that he just thinks everybody else is shit. he's such a hard-working, badass motherfucker that everybody else is like, bitch, you want money for serving me?
Right. The irony of it is he has the worst team in the history of basketball this year.
Oh, he owns a team now,
right? He owns
right?
Bobcats, and they were the worst team ever.
Wow.
But he went from being arguably the greatest player to the worst general manager ever.
I wonder if owner. Do you think he's not a good owner, or do you think he just doesn't have good...
I think he's got that syndrome where... You remember the Al Capone thing where everybody would laugh when he laughed and stop when he stopped? I think he has that. A lot of yes people around him, so nobody says no. So he makes moves that he doesn't really know what he's doing. But there's nobody to confront him. Nobody has the balls to confront him. I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. That's the thing that people always look for. The people always look for sycophants, you know. When you want to see a guy who's falling apart, you look towards the sycophants.
Yeah,
if you want to insult guys, you call them sycophants.
Right.
You know, which is always hilarious. Like, guys can't be friends. No. If one guy is more successful than the other, well, then the rest are just sycophants. You know,
in
the moron's mind, that's the conversation that comes up. So that, you know, that's like demeaning to like all the other guys that hang out with a guy, you know.
Yeah. Do you find people change towards you in some ways?
Like in what way? What do you mean?
Well, deferring to you because they think they can get something or anything.
Well, there's gonna always be people that are weird, man. That just they're trying to hustle. They're trying to. You know, sell something. They want to get close to you because they think it'll be advantageous to them. And, you know, there's people that they give it away, man. They give it away quick.
I just find that people kind of hit on me for stuff that I really don't. I can't write them a strong act.
Right.
And
Dom, you think you can sit down and write with me?
You're right. It's just funny. But, I mean, sometimes I think people want stuff that I'm not even powerful enough to give them.
You know, one thing would it be cool to do, and I have thought about doing this before, I think it would be really kind of a fun thing, to have guys like you and me and maybe Stanhope or, you know, someone else weird along those lines. Have, like, a series of guys. Have Joey Diaz do something, Ari Shaffir do something, and have it so comics... We'll have like a meeting at the improv on like Saturday at like 5 p.m. and we'll just answer any questions.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't that be great?
Sure.
Can you imagine if you were a guy who'd been doing comedy a year and you could talk to the you of today?
Yeah.
And just to ask you, what do you do? How do you get started? What do you write about? How do you write? Do you write it down? Do you write bullet points? What do you do? Do you how do you practice it? Do you practice it in order? Do you practice alone at home or only on stage?
You do the same order every time.
Yeah.
I had a guy ask me, and he was so disappointed that I just told him the reality. He said, "How do you get on like the Tonight Show and those kind of shows?" I said, "Well, the most important thing is it's very hard to write those sets because I'm like you. I'm more free form and I don't like to write tight sets.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's hard." And I said, "You know, you really have to write them and, you know, construct them so that they're only 5 minutes." And he goes, "You got to write?" And I go, "Well, yeah, what do you think you do? Call up the president of show business and ask him for a favor? You got to write? What the fuck? I didn't expect that."
Yeah, some people don't like writing. I write in my head. I've done that before, and I'm not nearly as prolific. I got to sit down. Prolific.
Well, because you're working so much, too. You were so busy with that.
Well, it's not my, you know, it seems like a lot of work, but everything that I do is fun. So it doesn't seem like work at all.
But it's still time-consuming.
It's time-consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
it's very hard to crack the starting lineup, don't you think? Like, you just got to do it. Like, the harder it is for me, it's the better you get and the more strong shit you have, the harder it is to break the starting lineup because you're thinking, oh, yeah, fuck, I don't want to put that in. It's not strong enough.
Well, once you get it down, like you get like an opening bit or a whole chunk down like fucking hardened Japanese samurai sword, just fold it over and tang, tang. Just polish that bitch down till it's lethal, till it's perfect. You know, you don't want to let it go. But unfortunately, you have to. There's no other way.
Yeah.
We're doing a show here at the Ice House Wednesday night. Do you do anything Wednesday?
I have one spot at the store. What's up?
10 o'clock show. We're doing a show here.
I'll come out.
Will you do a set?
Sure.
What time is your spot at the store?
10 o'clock. Will I make it?
Yeah, you could do it just late. If you just do your set there, and then if the store's not too late, the store's sometimes running late.
No, I can get on. I can.
Well, sometimes don't even start at 10 o'clock. We'll start at like 10:10. Yeah. We're crazy.
So what's it going to go to? It'll go to at least midnight, right?
Yeah. Well, if you come, you know, and I'm already on stage, I'll bring you on stage.
All right.
And we can fuck around.
Okay.
Or you just do your act. I mean, I'll introduce you at any time. Anytime you get here, we'll throw you up. That'll be awesome.
What, is it a benefit?
No, we're fucking around.
Oh,
we're
We're going to have a podcast at 9, show at 10, and that's May 23rd if you're listening to this.
So if you're listening to this later and you want to come down the Ice House and stalk us.
Can I plug a couple dates?
Please do.
I got Atlanta, June 15th and 16th, I think it is. Where Punchline.
Oh, great club.
And a big gig for me, because it goes to Philly, is June 30th. I'm at the Tropicana, the big room upstairs.
Tropicana, Atlantic City?
Yeah, which I love.
Do you love Atlantic City?
Well, for me, it's so, you know, all the fucking... We got all the fucking Italians coming from Hamilton, the mayor and everybody.
Well, you know, you're one of those guys that you never stuck with the same act. You know, you're not one of those guys where you go see him like 3 years later and you'll see the same shit verbatim. You're always, it's always writing. You're always.
I fucking try.
You love it. You love it. You're a real comic, man. You're a real craftsman. You know, you could not have picked a better occupation. It's not like Dom Herrera should have been a plumber, should have been an electrician, should have been a doctor, whatever the fuck it was. Like,
that's the one thing good about my lack of talent in many things. It's easier for me to focus.
Well, you've always loved comedy, man. Yeah. I mean, since the moment I met you, like we've had like so many conversations about comedy, and I've got to see you always working on shit and tightening shit. Like you there's some guys, and we all know them. They just kind of there comes a point in time where they just start phoning it in. But you never hit that. You know, you never hit that. You're always you even say that too. You're always saying like I'm trying to get better. Like that's in your head all the time.
Absolutely. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
You don't stay at the one spot.
And what the fuck are you doing if you're not getting better? You know, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you wasting your time?
That's why I do so many sets.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, that's, you know.
It's fun, too. It's a fun thing to do. Make people laugh is a fun time. You know, we're
new
the luckiest
rules.
Human being.
New rules. One of my favorite. I wish you could reenact that bit.
I love that bit. That was a labor of love, that bit.
Who was it? What's her name?
Anna Nicole Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith, yeah.
Yeah. That was a bit that I was actually forbidden from saying at the Comedy Store.
Really?
Yeah. Mitzi came up to me once.
That's weird. That's not funny.
Leave her alone.
Your fucking neck got longer when you went
new rules. The joke was about... You know, everybody was like, oh, my God, Anna Nicole Smith, she's marrying this old billionaire that's so horrible. Like, what she's doing is so terrible. She's taking advantage of him. And my joke was, don't you think he fucking knows? He's 90 years old. He made $1 billion from scratch. Chances are the dude's a tad crafty.
Right.
And it was him getting her to do all this crazy fucked up shit, or he wouldn't give her money. And it just kept getting nuttier and nuttier as he was dying. He wanted her to lick his ass while he was dying, screaming. It's like, it was one of my favorite bits to do because it felt justified. You could get away with it. You know?
I didn't know you were told not to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then how did new rules come in when he would do something perverted? Or,
oh, yeah.
You can't do this in the hospital?
Yeah, she says, he goes, lick my balls. And she says, sugar, I would love to stay here and be with you. But the visiting hours between 9 and 11, he goes, no, I just bought the hospital. New rules. <That's it>. Lick my balls 24 hours a day. It was.
I love that fucking bit.
He would be in a wheelchair, man, and she'd be standing over him, this insanely hot, big-titted guest model.
Yeah.
And you just look at her and go, oh, my God, that fucking body she had. Just this insane fuck body.
She was like
know?
A giant Jane Mansfield.
when those early pictures, like when she was in Playboy or whatever the fuck she did, you look at her body, you go, Jesus Christ, what a body that woman had. Just all voluptuous and legs and, you know, like you and I like dumb. We don't like no skinny broads.
I like a little meat on the bone. You know
like
what I mean?
I like a girl that can take a good fucking, because you know I deliver.
Oh, I know.
Oh!
I like to bang a head into the wall the whole time.
I like to deliver. Oh!
That sounds like him.
That's my best impression. He's one of my best impressions, right?
I went to a strip club in Cleveland, and it was one of the most, like, the name of the club was, hold on a second. The name of the club was Sexy Secret or something like that. Something secret.
Sexy Secret?
It was something secret. And so I walk in, and I was the only white person in the whole entire club. So, like, the secret was I was the only, you know. But it was crazy.
Sexy Secret. Secret, we gonna rob you.
But I immediately got swarmed. Like, it was like zombie style. Like, one by one, all the strippers, like, looked over and was like, wow, white guy. And it, like, came over. And at one point, I had, like, two girls on each, like, lap. One girl giving me a massage.
Wait a minute.
And just two.
You can't support two girls on each leg. That's ridiculous. Huh? That's a lot of weight.
Huh?
Two girls on each leg. Yeah. So you got four girls on your lap.
No, two. I'm sorry, a girl on each leg.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I meant two girls.
Two girls, one on each leg.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One on each leg.
That's a lot of weight too. That hurts after a while. That's not fun.
Yeah, and you can't act like it hurts.
They weren't very
move a little, honey. Your ass is bony.
Yeah, you got to step up. Your fucking left leg numb.
Right.
Fall down and smash your face in the cocktail glass.
But they just like took turns like putting their butts in my face,
Jesus,
and like, and
son.
It was so much butt. Like I felt butt juice on my arms, like it was moisturizer or something like that. After a while, it was so hot in there. But anyways, yeah, check out a black strip club in the ghetto sometime. It's pretty weird.
You okay?
What? No, it's really interesting.
Butt juice. Did you?
So you let
them sort of get butt juice on you over the place?
The thing is, you know how you go to like a normal strip club, like what you're used to, and it's like it's all about like big boobs, perfect body, nice butt or something.
Right.
There, it was all about huge fucking bubble asses. Like just girls, normal looking girls, but with like, I think butt implants or something. It was all about butts.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Have you ever been officially diagnosed? I went to a strip club in Philly, and this black chick asked me for a lap dance, and I said, no thanks. She said, you're a racist.
And the
bouncer was black, big guy, and he knew me. And I go, what'd she say? I said, she said I'm a racist.
Wow.
What the fact that I don't think you're hot?
How rude.
Yeah. How does that make me a racist?
I have a new thing to say to
you. Meanwhile, there you are. Hold on a second. Because meanwhile, there you are arguing with a stripper. You can never win.
I have a new thing to say when a stripper, like,
what's
you don't want
to
lap
life?
Dance. You go, I would love to, but actually, you look so much like my sister, and that will freak me out.
Ooh, that's
that,
good.
So
that's
I said it like
line.
14 times.
Wow, that's good. Oh my God, that guy. I think he's really cute, and he totally wanted to dance, but I look like his sister, and that is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
That motherfucker! He said I look like his sister!
And you'll start a fight in the dressing room,
right.
And then I'll come out and fucking shank you. Maybe you were like that close to death, and you don't even know.
No. I think I was fine. It was pretty amazing though how they just swarmed to me. Like all these other guys, like kind of getting pissed because I was
really
so
dudes
much
were
attention.
Getting pissed.
Yeah,
was this in Cleveland? Was this by the Flats? Where was it?
I forget the name of it.
Because I know a strip club there. A friend of mine gave like this girl like $1,000 because she said she was studying classical music, some shit. She believed him or he believed her.
Really?
Can you imagine? She was studying like the oboe or something. some highfalutin musical school. I can't even remember the name, but Juilliard or something. You know, it's like, give me a fucking break. You know.
How many girls do, like, are strippers and have, like, high-functioning jobs on top of that?
Not many.
Do you know there's a chick who got fired from somewhere. I forget where she got fired from. But she writes for, like, a local paper. I think it was, like, the Houston Chronicle or something like that. And she was writing a column, but she was also like on the side. She was a stripper, and they found out, so they fired her. Somebody like turned her in, so they fired her.
I you know what? I think I would be if I was a woman and wanted some extra cash.
Well, first of all, anybody that would turn her in like that, like I guess if it's a moral thing, you're silly, and if it's not a moral thing, you're a cunt. Why are you turning her in? Like,
yeah, there's no upside.
Yeah, why are you getting her fired?
At least she's
working. Is she a bad person? You know, she's just out there hustling. What do you give a fuck? Just keep it yourself, and now you can go see her naked. What's wrong with you? right? Mm-hmm. If you got a weird thing with somebody, the best thing to do is go visit them while they're naked.
Right?
Yeah, you can resolve that shit.
Mm. I got a stripper bit. You know my stripper bit, Joe?
I'm serious. Brian's like, really?
What?
Yeah, man. I'm trying to break down like the whole stripper and boyfriend relationship. I'm trying to break it down, Brian. I'm trying to you have to have a certain mentality if you're going to date a girl as an active stripper.
I can.
You really got to be able to let things go.
You got to let things go. Yeah. Well, how about those dudes that date porn stars?
Oh, that's they're only
disgusting. Allowed, you're only allowed to fuck while you're at work. Yeah. You can't fuck
let's
on the side.
Let's ride you on a line.
Yeah.
I'm the boss around here.
They have rules like that. You're allowed to fuck people, but only while you're working. Right. So these dudes are just working all day, every day.
Imagine she's a mother, too, like the mother of your children. And then
a lot of them are. A lot of them are. You know, there's girls that they have babies, and then, look, what are they going to do? They can make a lot of money doing porn, or they can make no money not doing porn. So they either do porn, or they go into do feature dancing. It's a fucking grind out there, man, for everybody, you know? And if you're a chick that's banked on your looks, you know, there's guys that they think they're going to be professional pitchers, and their fucking elbow blows out.
Yeah.
Everybody makes a risky gamble in this life.
We're all one pitch away.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Yeah, if you look at it that way, Don Herrera.
Joe Rogan.
I try to be as fair as possible. Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what my life's about. Fairness. The balance of justice.
Yeah, a balance of justice. That's a good way of putting it. You know?
I got offered to go in a coal mine. It was a mile and a half deep.
What?
And I declined it, but he was telling me how you travel on this thing. I forget where you lay back and you have you're laying on your back and you just go down this hole slowly, you know, a mile down or something. And he's like, dude, if you want to go, we can totally do this whenever you want to, you know. And,
whoa.
And I was like, fuck no. I'd rather not do, I'd rather try to commit suicide than do that.
Whew. That sounds scary as fuck. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are people into doing things that are really terrifying?
I don't know.
I don't think they have a choice.
Yeah, coal miners are. Can you imagine being a coal miner? No way. That's a
there
different
was a show
PC,
that
right?
they had on Spike that I only could watch one episode because it freaked me out so mm-hmm. bad. It was called, I think it was called Coal, and it was a reality show about coal mining. It's fucking terrifying. They're deep, deep, deep inside this fucking mountain, hoping it doesn't do this. Boom! They're pulling out giant chunks of it, so they're going to make it brittle. I mean, and you know how brittle coal is anyway, man. When you feel coal, you know how brittle coal is. Coal breaks. It's not like it's not steel, you know. When you feel it, like you can chew into it with those machines and they pull it out of there.
Remember
like
that?
It can crack and move and shit. And
how about the guys that were down there in Chile?
Yeah. They were beating
was
off.
Was that like a month or something?
Didn't they send them flashlights?
They're beating
they
off?
Flashlights? Is it really?
No.
What the fuck?
Can you imagine? Here's some water, and here, fuck this.
Yeah, here's a flashlight.
Here's a candle, so you can look each other in the eye while you're doing it.
That's some butter for the canary.
You gotta kind of clean it off, though, so save the water.
Remember the one guy had a wife and a girlfriend? They found out when he was
once
still
he was
down
in
there?
The hole. Hey, the guy's balling. What are you going to do? You imagine being in a situation where that's the only way you could feed your family is to be, you have to go to work in a mine. I mean, that's really scary shit to be like one of the people that's responsible for like pulling chunks out of the earth so that we can use it. When you look at like humans and the relationship that we have to the earth, it's so parasitic and strange. And we never consider it that way. We look at it as natural resources. But if you look at the earth as like a living organism, we've got to go inside of it and pull shit out of it that we use to light things on fire on the surface. We literally have our whole society run on the blood of the earth. The whole thing's run on oil. Everything is run on some black liquid that is fucking trillions of gallons of it inside the earth, and we're sucking it out. And we're pretty sure it's finite.
Oh, it has to be finite.
We don't even know what's going to happen if it is finite. What happens?
The Earth's going to implode.
Is it going to light on fire? What the fuck's going to happen? Is it going to spin faster and days will go shorter? We'll die instantly. Who the fuck knows? That's bad science, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in any of that. I don't want to get any angry Twitter messages.
The Twilight Zone. Remember the Morning Sun? The one in the episode where they thought it was getting hotter every day. And because the Earth had fallen out of its elliptical orbit and was coming closer and closer to the sun. And it was everything. Then finally the painting started melting and they knew it was over.
Holy
and
shit.
And she wakes up and she finds out it's just the opposite. The Earth is going farther away from the sun.
Oh, my God.
And every day it's getting colder. So it just shows the relative, the fragile existence which we have. Anyway, I've been Don Marrero. You guys have been great. I like to bum a crowd out. A lot of guys, they go for the lift, not me.
It is true, though, that we live in a delicate balance. I mean, think about, we don't experience it here in California, but when I lived in Boston, or anybody on the East Coast knows, there's a vast difference between what it's like to go outside in January and what it's like to go outside in August. There's fucking world of difference.
I'd rather have January.
Would you really?
Well, then I'd rather be in 10 degrees than 110, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. Is that because of just you've spent too much time out here?
Because I'm a fat pig and I hate myself. Did I remind you? No, I never liked heat.
Really?
Yeah, hot tubs, saunas.
I like it. I like it hot.
You like Vegas in the summer?
No, that's too hot. That's crazy. Yeah. That's silly.
That's a different planet hot.
I like 90 degrees. I like going outside when it's 90 degrees, especially East Coast 90 degrees, because it's funky and sweaty. I think it's healthy.
See, I, like
I think
50,
it's good for you.
I like
moisture.
50 degrees with a thong on, yeah, a couple of boiled potatoes down, clogs, and a guinea tea. And
dirty toenails. I got dirty toenails.
big afro wig.
That's toilet paper all over my chest.
That's an image you'll never forget. Sorry, I started the show with that.
It's not just not that I'll never forget it. It's just we could all relate.
Yeah.
Everyone could have seen themselves in that situation. Especially if you didn't get expected to get, you know, woken up.
Oh, jeez.
Where are we going? Where are we going?
That's a good album cover if you ever have a CD.
Yeah, it would be hilarious if it was the actual photo, if you realized it and you said, oh, my God, here, hold my camera. Take a picture of this.
I just remember him pointing at it. What's that? Fucking paper all over up to my neck.
That is hilarious. For loads. How much of our time on this earth is spent devising new ways to get rid of loads?
I would say 35 to 40%.
I mean, think about some of the relationships that you had were really just exchanges from a load extracting contractor.
Yep.
You know, it's like there's relationships that guys have, especially like young men early on in life, when you're essentially, you know, you're like a vampire that must feed, and you only have so long where you can go before you start going crazy. You start dating somebody, like, I'm pretty close to feeding, here we go. And then once you get close enough so you can actually have sex, by the time you do that, most of us have already compromised our position considerably,
right,
and the relationship that we've agreed to and relented to is completely not what we're looking for. You know, we just had to get some sex in. You know, it's impossible to avoid. So we tried to pretend to be the guy that you wanted us to be, because that's the way you get laid. You know, it becomes a junkie situation. You know, it becomes a situation where you're making irrational decisions. You're hoping that it works out, and the person you wind up fucking is someone you actually like. And you just compatible personalities get together, and you raise a family or whatever. You're hoping that you get to that situation. But most of the time, you don't. Most of the time, you're completely incompatible.
No, you're telling me.
You date someone, and they're fucking, they're all sorts of problems, and complaining, and whining, and bullshit, and... Ugh.
The funniest one, you know, Dub Davidoff.
Yeah, very much.
His funny guy. You know, you got to talk to him sometime about this, because he did it. I thought he took the ring off the girl while she was asleep, but he just stole it from the dresser. But in the middle of the night, he unengaged himself by taking the ring back.
Oh my God!
Imagine her waking up the next day, and he got engaged in like 2 weeks. What is this? A fucking movie? That's not real.
Some people they want that. You know, it's a fun thing to think of.
It's a love junkie. It's like loving that feeling, that instant magic.
Well, everybody wants that. Everybody wants to knock one out of the park. They want, you meet someone and, you know, she's nice and she's friendly and she's interesting. And, oh, my God, I just know it's the one, Dom. I only know her for 4 hours, but I'm telling you, I'm marrying this girl tomorrow morning. Well, I already asked her to marry. We fucked 5 times already. We've known each other for 4 hours. Like, there's people that throw themselves with abandon. It's because they want someone to believe in them. They want someone to love them the same way they want to love someone. They have this massive need to both love and be loved. They're in a love deficit. So when love comes along, they fucking throw a shit fit. They go crazy. They abandon their friends. They stop answering their cell phone. They'll throw their phone in the toilet. I don't care. I'm just by your side. As long as I'm with you, I don't want anything else.
We are complete. You make me complete.
You make me complete, Tom Herrera. They're just ready.
But you know, Sophie and I only dated once before she moved in.
Shazam, son. That's what I'm talking. That's how Dom do.
No, but I mean, the thing is, it lasted 9 years. But that was a very rare situation. She moved to China, and the only way I was going to get her to come back was for her to move in.
How many comics do you know that have healthy relationships?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Seven.
I'd have to.
Seven.
Seven.
Seven. It's. I think it's. Well, especially
you do.
Hard.
You
yeah,
do.
I do.
Yeah.
I think it's especially hard in any sort of a creative sort of a job.
You have to have a cool chick.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
understands that you.
You have to have someone who lets you think. You have to have someone who gives you space. You know, it's not all up in your grill constantly.
Yeah.
But you also have someone when you talk to, they're like they're fun to be around.
Their brain works.
Yeah, their brain works, and they have a positive spin on things. Like there's certain people, we all know this, like when you meet them and then you see them and you smile and then you become enhanced. You know what I mean? Like Joey Diaz, perfect example. What's up, baby? What are we doing here? And you see him and we would all start smiling and we feel enhanced. And then there's other people that come around and they drag on you. You know, there's other people that come around and they just start complaining and whining and bitching. Well, and I've had both, man. I've had both. And it's there's the life of you. If you're with someone that complains all the time, that someone that takes that negative point of view all the time, your life will be hell. It's gut-wrenching.
A friend of mine said there's two people in life. There's fountains and drains.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's true. But like when those drains, they just, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, how you doing? Ah, I'm hanging in there.
It's never it's brutal, yeah. Brutal. There's a comic that I know I love him to death, and I won't say his name, but I spoke to him once, and I said, I'm never talking to this motherfucker again.
Do an impression of him.
I can't. He's too obvious.
Oh, really?
No. Making that up, too. Just throwing people off the track now. He was part cat. He grew up in Afghanistan. but, you know, I would say, hey, what's going on? Like, well, not so good. I'll tell you the whole situation. Oh. The wife, she walked out. Okay. You know, yeah. Really? We're the guy.
She walked out on you, Mr.
13
Joy?
13 years. I thought this was something that we had both agreed to, and apparently she hadn't agreed to that. And like, oh, geez, you motherfucker. Listen to yourself. I haven't seen you in years, and you just hit me with just a bucket of diarrhea. You know, what kind of there's people that don't even think at all about the person they're talking to. All they think about is like the shit that they want to burden you because their life has taken some terrible turn for the worst. Mostly a lot of people because they're shit personality. You know, that people just go, fucking get away from me. Ah, and they just run. And then that same shitty personality is what makes you get trapped by this guy at a fucking party.
Do you know Jeremy Hutz?
The comedian from Canada. I do not know him.
Okay. He's fucking hilarious.
Yes, I know.
Very good comedian.
Very
hilarious.
Funny. I've only seen him in video, though.
When he's serious. We were doing Russell Peters' special in Montreal this summer. And he was my roommate. And he'd come in. Hey, Jeremy. How you doing? Oh, but you don't have any Tums, do you? I got like a bad stomach. I said, no, I don't carry Tums. He goes, you got any beer? I go, who the fuck goes from Tums to beer?
Jesus.
You know what I mean? But I mean, he was always like, and he's so fucking good on stage, but he was such a, I mean, I still enjoy him, but he is such a bummer, you know.
He's a bummer?
Well, in that sense, you know, like he's talking about his sinuses one night at the Laugh Factory. There's a bunch of comedians. I said, Jerry, let me tell you something. No group of comedians is going to be concerned about your sinuses. No matter what, unless you have your sinuses removed, it's not an interesting story. We don't want to hear about your fucking post-nasal drip.
Yeah, I'm not into being around people that complain about stupid shit. You just man up and deal with it. So your nose bugs you. Just deal with it.
Right.
Bitch. Right? God damn it. Right. I went through most of my life with a broken nose. I broke my nose when I was 5, fell down a flight of stairs, and for most of my life I had like shitty breathing out of my nose. It was all fucked up.
Deviated septum?
Yeah, it was a mess. So, and then from getting punched in the face, from wrestling and kickboxing and taekwondo, just always getting hit in the fucking face. I mean, don't know how many times I got hit in the face. So the inside of the nose was just a mess. I had like one little baby channel. They opened it up. They cleaned it all out. It was one of the best things I ever did.
It's amazing that you didn't even know what you were missing.
Oh, my God. I was mouth breathing. Yeah. I was mouth breathing for a giant chunk of my life. And I was trying to do like hardcore athletics. I was trying to do martial arts. And with a broken nose, a useless nose, like...
Yeah.
That was my nose, like literally. But now it's like, now I can breathe.
When did you have the operation?
A couple of years ago, a few years ago. I made it was so important to me that I made a little video.
So I knew you
online.
When you were breathing.
Yeah, like it probably got worse. It got worse as time went on, and I broke it again in in like 2007. I broke it pretty bad. It was pretty bloody, and I got black eyes and shit
from
a head. We collided in jiu-jitsu class. Jiu-jitsu is, you know, the two things that happen to hurt you. One, accidental collisions. Like sometimes you'll be throwing up a knee for a triangle, and you hit someone in the eye, and it fucks their eye up. It's happened to me. I've done it accidentally. It's just one of the things that happens. Yeah. And another thing that happens is sometimes people that are rolling right next to you collide into you, and you bonk heads and shit. That's fucked up. I've had that happen where you get hit pretty fucking hard.
I got suckered in a bar. I was a doorman at a bar. Me and Randall Cobb were the doorman, right?
Really?
And Joe, I don't fucking know anything.
What year was this?
I don't know, 78, 77.
Where?
In Philly, a place called Doc Watson's. But it was
you
mostly...
You and Randall Tex Cobb. Do you have a picture of you two together?
No. But
fuck.
He was the North American heavyweight karate champion at the time.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't know. He was a kickboxer.
Oh, he could kick over your head, man.
Yeah.
The first thing he showed me was his nose. He had no cartilage in his nose.
He could smash
it. Anyway, I got suckered by this guy and broke my nose. And the worst thing was, it wasn't the pain. It was the sound of them putting it back in place. You know, like with the pliers they take.
Well, when I got my my nose fixed, the boogers that came out were so horrendous that I saved them and I took pictures of them. You want to look at it? Would you look at it?
Check this out.
Asteroids.
I'm just going to show it to you because you're not even going to believe it. What is this?
This is when he had to clean it out. Check
this. This is right after.
Tom Segura.
I would have to blow snot out, and I would use a water pick and throw it through my nose to clean my nose out. It's pretty deep. It's pretty intense.
Oh, jeez.
Weeks after my operation, I have to do this twice a day, where I take a water pick, a special nostril attachment.
Oh, jeez. Is that just like a saline solution?
Wait, you ain't seen shit, son. Wait till you see these boogers I'm going to pull out.
If you email me them, I can show the audience.
Okay, let me find the really good ones, because they're so ridiculous. But, you know, what was happening was that my body was... you know, making these clots.
Jeez, you're throwing up from your nose.
Yeah. I gotta find them. I don't know where they are, though, unfortunately. They're probably deep in this iPhoto.
Well, it'll give us a good excuse to get together again.
I need to...
Oh, here's a picture of it. Here's a still from it.
You got one of my boogers?
Yeah, hold on. Let me...
They were so ridiculous. I think I put them on Twitter. Did I put them on Twitter?
I don't... But it's at the beginning of this video. Here.
I definitely put them...
See, there it is. That thing in the middle...
The clot. That's actually the clot the doctor pulled out of my nose.
This
is shit I showed. I showed Tommy Segura at the airport, and he almost threw up. I got him real close to throwing up. He had to turn away. He had to hold his mouth. It was pretty badass. I think I'm closing in on it here, Dom.
I think that was the first time I met Tom Segura. It was that weekend, right after you had that operation.
There's certain shit that, you know, if you can get it fixed, man, if you have a deviated septum and you get it fixed, your life will change. You will have an easier life. Like, it's hard. When you only can breathe out of your fucking mouth, that sucks.
But you could get sleep apnea.
Oh, beautiful. I just found it.
Is it 100%, though? Or, I mean, could you go back right now and have them fix it?
Look at the size of that goddamn thing.
Looks like a date.
Looks like a jewel.
I guess email it to me.
I'm going to email it to you right now.
That's disturbing.
That is.
So do you think you could go back and they could actually fix it up even more? I mean,
no, it's clean now.
It's clean.
Yeah, it's awesome now.
100%.
Yeah, now it's 100%.
But it has different colors in it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It shouldn't even be real.
Something beautiful about it.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And yet hot.
You can reduce the message. I don't want to reduce it. Actual size, bitch.
Actual size,
why
that
trying
shit.
To, why are you trying to save gigabytes?
Why are you trying Verizon? To be like that, motherfucker?
I sent the photo of the booger. Not even the best photo of it. It's so ridiculous. It doesn't even look real.
It doesn't look like it could come out of your nose.
And it came out in one giant, really super satisfying hunk.
There we go. Just get this
look at that. There's another photo of it. That's a close-up.
Oh, Jesus.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Looks like crystal or something.
That came out of my nose in one hunk.
Oh, gross.
But I'll tell you what, man. For me, that shit was sweet relief. For me, I know you're looking at it and you go, Joe, I don't want to see your snot. Then why are you looking, bitch? We told you what we're going to do. Listen, I'm feeling bad that I'm showing these people this and that they're going to get sick, Brian. Let's kill it. Kill it. I think we made our point. But for me, man, that represents freedom. That's my shackles.
You're quite the host.
I feel fantastic. I breathe out of my nose.
You look good.
Thank you. You look good as well.
Thanks, Joe. I feel good. Doing a lot of stretching now.
Are you updating your Twitter? You been getting on Twitter? Let me see. When was the last time you got on the Twitter?
How do you? What's my Twitter at?
It's Dom Irrera, you fella.
Dom Irrera? That's
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's not at Dom Irrera?
It says at Dom Irrera, yeah.
Oh, at Dom Irrera.
Everything's at something.
Oh, okay.
We were just saying the other day about how, remember when people used to like use the at as if it's like them in the third person, like is going to the movies right now?
Right.
People tried that for a while, right? Remember?
Yeah.
It got too pretentious, though.
Do you tweet a lot?
Yeah, tweet all the time. You know what's the best
thing
about
Twitter?
I got to
get into a habit of it. It's fun, really.
It's really fun. If you're interested, Dom Irrera, the two R's are in the first position. It's Domirrera. I even myself have fucked up upon occasion.
Yeah.
And made it Irrera, like Carrera.
Right. I have a friend. I worked a club, and they misspelled it. Carrera spelled?
I don't even know if that's how Carrera
spelled. It's a lot of noise.
They misspelled it at the club you worked at?
Yeah.
Some motherfuckers.
Captain Brian's, off
Jesus
the hook.
Christ, where's that
off
place?
Off the hook, Marco Island. It's dead to me. No, it's a great
them.
Place, actually.
Wow.
Is it? Yeah. Marco Island?
Oh, fuck, it's beautiful.
Florida's fucking crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Florida's crazy on a totally different level. That's not the rest of the country. Florida is...
I love it, and I love that improv in Hollywood. Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood, Florida.
That's a great place.
Yeah.
The Indian Casino?
Yeah.
Hard Rock?
You know what they told me, Joe?
What?
Make sure you don't say anything about the Seminoles, anything bad. I go, like, I got 15 minutes on the Seminole Indians.
They actually said that to you?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, of course, I went up and said nothing but good things about them. You know, just because somebody's going to tell me what to say, I go, I got to say something. Of all the tribes, the Seminole are my favorite. I'm not a big fan of the Apache, the Arapaho, and go fuck them. So, but I love the Seminole people. So look what they say.
The Seminoles sponsor a bunch of professional pool matches.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they used to have a whole tour. The Seminole Indians used to, Seminole tribe, rather, used to be, I don't know if you're allowed to call, are you supposed to call them Indians? Why would you call them Indians?
Native Americans.
Yeah, it's natives. You know, because
or coloreds.
The idea that we called them Indians like deep into the 20th century is really pretty fucking crazy.
Where did Indian come from?
Columbus.
Oh, he thought he was going to India, right?
Yeah,
right,
these
right.
fucking assholes. They just would get in the ocean. Oh, we're in India.
That's funny.
They saw these little brown people. These are Indians. Like, they had no idea they were in the Bahamas. Like, the whole thing is preposterous. It's really funny when you stop and think about that they still celebrate Columbus Day. First of all, Columbus never even came here.
Watch it.
You know,
watch
and
it.
Second
I'm Italian.
Of all, have you ever read some of the shit that Columbus yeah. did? Ooh.
Leif Erikson, right? Was it Leif Erikson?
No, he was the Viking.
No, but he was the first one here. Wasn't he here?
Well, no, not even.
Erik the Red?
No, they've actually found, the really crazy thing is the oldest body that they found in North America was Chinese.
Son of a bitch.
The Chinese were everywhere. Well, they don't know. Like they're still trying to figure out like when people got in ships and traveled all over the world. By the way, we are going to do a podcast with John Anthony West, speaking of this, because this is a fucking fascinating topic. I've been exchanging email. I owe him an email, but he wants to do it. We're probably going to have to do it on Skype. It may be the first time we ever do one on Skype, but it's worth doing it for this guy. John Anthony West, if you don't know, is the guy who's like the main Egyptologist who's out there trying to predate the Egyptian Empire. And he says that it's like there's many empires. It's not just like one. And mm-hmm. it goes back thousands and thousands of years earlier. And he has geologists on his side. It's really interesting because he's... all these different academics are fighting it tooth and nail because it makes everything they've been teaching everybody in school bullshit.
Sound, yeah, right.
Because it's off by thousands of years. They've dated the enclosure of the Sphinx. There's these huge like fissure marks that are in the walls these stones. And what they come from, every geologist agrees on this, is thousands of years of rainfall. These are clearly like the way water erodes things.
You think the aliens built the pyramids?
No, no. I think the Egyptian civilization was most likely as advanced, if not more advanced, than we are today, but in a different direction.
Right.
They became advanced with a language like hieroglyphics, with incredible mathematics that were allowing them to make these geometric structures. I mean, however the fuck they figured out how to do it, there's a lot of speculation. But to pretend that the Great Pyramid of Giza is not an astronomically incredibly amazing fucking accomplishment is great. It's ridiculous. It's one of the greatest accomplishments of human engineering of all time, and no one even knows when it was made. The guess is 2500 BC, and it's based on like carbon samples and shit they found at the area. Mm. But it's still they're not completely sure about that. There's a lot of weird speculation. And the Sphinx, the Sphinx with all that the deep water erosion around the enclosure. What they're saying is that if that was thousands of years of rainfall, then the last time there was heavy rainfall in the Nile Valley was something crazy like 9,000 BC. So instead of being 2,500 BC like they thought it was like thousands of years older still than we are to them.
It's raining again.
Crazy. They used to be a jungle. It used to be a rainforest.
Really?
The Nile Valley used to be like a rainforest. It was raining constantly. And then slowly it became a desert. Mm. And the last time there was like heavy rainfall was like 9,000 BC. It's fucking nuts. And this cutout area, shows thousands of years of rainfall. And the Egyptologists don't want to address it. They look at it and it's freaking them out because it's pretty obvious. And there's no getting around it. If it is rainfall, the whole thing's got to be thrown out. And that's the only physical thing they have to show that there was something that existed that long ago. And that's why they resist it. Like the scholars are like, you know, where's the evidence of this civilization that it would have existed 10,000 plus years ago? Mm. There is no evidence. And, you know, what they're saying is, or this guy's like this John Anthony West is saying, is there wouldn't really be much. There's like this stuff. There's like, I mean, 10,000 years is an insane amount of time. 10,000 BC, think about how long ago 12,000 fucking years is. Think of how crazy that is.
Well, Christ was only 2,000 something.
Yeah.
Well,
supposedly. Do you think Christ was real? Think Christ was a real guy?
Yeah.
You think so, for sure?
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't know why they would make it up. I'm not saying he's God or anything.
What about Santa Claus?
Santa Claus for sure, 100%.
100%.
And you know what's amazing about him? No matter how many people there are, he takes care of everybody. If you're good, if you're good, you leave a cookie out. You know what's funny about that? We're talking about these phrases come down in history. I was staying at a hotel in Rochester, and for some reason they didn't register my name. And this friend of mine finally gets through, and she goes, "What are you, fucking King Tut?" And I'm thinking, isn't that interesting that King Tut came down? You talk about Egypt. Like this kid who died thousands of years ago.
Right.
He's still a reference for like a wise-ass remark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous.
You King fucking Tut in common?
You know, he had a lopsided head. Yeah, he had a crazy fucked up elongated head.
Who knows that but you?
Well, you ever seen images of him?
What a fan of esoteric knowledge.
His family, there were some weird physical characteristics to his family that a lot of the crazy conspiracy theorist guys really latch onto because it's like, look at his head. He's clearly an alien. You know, because he had like kind of a weird shaped head. You know,
no normal person has a head like that.
What a bad motherfucker he is, though, that we're talking about him still.
That's what I'm saying. 12.
Yeah.
How old was he when he died? He was a kid, right?
He was a kid, yeah. And I think he was murdered, wasn't he? Wasn't he murdered?
I don't know. He went into a bad neighborhood in Cairo.
They probably killed people all day back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know? The idea that John Anthony West is promoting is that the idea of a lot of these, there's a lot of guys that are getting on this notion, this possibility of ancient civilizations that were wiped out by disasters. Once we see shit like the tsunami and, you know, we see things like what Hurricane Katrina can do, and we go, well, these aren't even like the biggest storms or the biggest events in history. What the fuck must it have been like with something like this times 10 hit 10,000 years ago? Might wipe out most of us, you know?
Right.
And they think that has probably happened several times to people. And that civilization would reach a great height, and then something would happen. And by the way, this coincides with two things. One, the end of the Ice Age, which happened fairly abruptly, which might have been caused by some sort of an event.
Like an asteroid.
And evidence of asteroidal impact somewhere around that long ago. I think 10,500 plus years ago is the estimation of when this asteroid hit. They're not completely exact on the date, I think. But they're all similar. And so there's evidence also that we've been pelted numerous times with asteroids. Like, once they started taking satellite photos...
I would think they would hit us all the time, the randomness of space.
Well, they get chewed up by our atmosphere for the most part, but some of them don't, man. The really big ones don't. And there's been several extinction events in the lifetime of the Earth, more than three, and at least two of them that involved giant impacts. Two of them are just big fucking volcano-sized explosion... asteroids are 5 miles wide slamming into the earth and lava shoots up into the fucking sky and blankets half the...
And that causes an ice age.
Oh, Jesus.
I was reading a Fred Flintstone book about a lot of that stuff.
Fucking imagine. Fred Flintstone wrote books? Okay. Could you imagine what it must have been like? living back, you know,
in the bedrock years,
in the caveman years, when there was like just grunt and shit.
Yeah.
No TV, just trying to follow around the herd of buffalo that know you're trying to kill them. So they always want to move by night. So you got to get up in the middle of the night. The buffalo are moving. We got to follow them. Follow after them. Your baby gets killed by tigers. Jaguars jack your whole fucking family.
Pulling women by the hair sounds
Do you think they did that? They clubbed them over the head, dragging?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that that image of the caveman is like the predominant image?
Yeah.
Caveman clubbing the chick over the head, dragging her by her hair.
Yeah.
That's the predominant image of what is a caveman doing. First of all, he's always got a club, right? Cavemen's always had clubs. And they always had a bear skin. Some sort of
that was like a Saturday night date. She was waiting for him. Where the fuck is Harry?
Why is it? But who invented the clubber over the head and drag her by her hair? You know,
I don't know.
Maybe it was King Tut.
But it's an amazing. Yeah. Isn't it like that? That's the symbol we all see.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how the fuck did that happen? The clubber over the head and drag her by the hair. How many times have you heard that expression when it comes to cavemen? It's like super common. Like, what is your caveman? He's gonna thinks every girl he meets is gonna club her over the head and drag her by her hair. Like, yeah. That's so common. Yeah,
yeah. Did like Looney Tunes invent that? Maybe.
I wonder. I wonder who came up with it, but it stuck culturally. Like all throughout my life, I remember that. Images of clubbing a girl over the head, dragging her by her hair.
Well, I never knew that there weren't cavemen and dinosaurs together because we always put them together.
Well, if you hung out with Sarah Palin, you would know that that's not factually correct. Because as a matter of fact. There was a school teacher from Alaska that says that Sarah Palin said that the Earth is less than 10,000 years old and that dinosaurs and men did live together, but mainstream science is trying to keep that from you. And that there's images. There's images on the internet of dinosaurs with a human footprint inside of it. Dinosaur footprint.
Oh,
I wonder if it's true. It could be just some hater bitch from Alaska, you know, who's the local librarian. Maybe she's a cunt, you know, and maybe Sarah Palin blew her husband or something, you know. She would do that.
Would you do Sarah Palin?
Fuck yeah.
It depends on where I was in my life.
Like in the butt?
Where I was.
You see, he lays back. Maybe it takes him 2 hours.
The
but
kid
every
gets
once
warmed
in a while.
Up. He gets crazy. He lets loose. Shenanigans ensue. I'm doing Adam Carolla's podcast later if you can't get enough of me.
Did you tune in on that? Did you get that email that said who's coming here next Wednesday?
Yeah, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Fuck, yeah. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, well, don't do that in front of him, you fuck. And he wants to forget those days. And apparently he has an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Do you know about his movie?
Yeah, Anthony was talking all about it on Opie. And Anthony, the name is called God Bless America. You want to see a trailer? I got a trailer of it.
Yes.
You'd love to see a trailer of it.
Yes.
Hold on.
I do want to see it. Pull that shit up.
Yeah.
Bobcat's one of those guys that's so mild-mannered before... He goes on stage.
And then goes on stage and goes crazy.
Yeah.
I never knew him as a comic. The first time I ever met him, he was directing the Chappelle Show. And I was with Dave. We were in New York City. And Dave was just walking down the street with a fake mustache on. And he was giving out awards for the best New York boobs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And
this was in the show?
Yeah. That was the first time I ever met Bobcat. I ran into him on the street. I'm like, what are you doing, Dave? He goes, hey, Joe Rogan, you want to help me out? I go, I only got like a half an hour. I go, oh, that's cool. So for a half an hour, I carried his box of New York boob ribbons. And he would go in, you got some great New York boobs. And he would give people like ribbons. And Bobcat was like directing the whole thing.
Right.
So that's the first time I met him. Very nice guy, though. Yeah. But I always liked him as a comic.
Here's the trailer, which is a Red Band trailer.
B-A-N-D.
The most hilarious ringtone ever. Just text P-I-G.
Got his bag. Got his bag.
We have a press that just gives him a free pass.
The boys were caught after setting the homeless man on fire.
Did you motherfucking poop in my food?
What?
You pig!
A tumor this size is very dangerous. Do you have any family? Oh, gotta take this.
My name is Chloe. I live in Virginia Beach, and everyone loves me because I'm so pretty.
I wanted an Escalade! This is the biggest day of my life, and you're f***ing up, Daddy!
Hey, Creepy. Isn't the schoolgirl thing a little played out?
Don't move and don't make a sound.
If you want the car, just take it. My parents got me the wrong one anyways.
Yeah, that's a fucking tragedy.
Did you just kill Chloe? Awesome.
that was a fantastic start.
But you know who else really riffs my cock off?
The Kardashians.
People who use rock star as an adjective.
Women who call their tits the girls.
Anyone who wears crystals.
You're aiming at the bear, right?
This is the best day ever!
Frank, don't. Let me.
I'm recording this. Thanks for turning off your cell phone.
You're welcome.
Why have a civilization if we no longer interested in being civilized?
That's awesome. Hey, buddy. What's wrong?
A lot.
A lot of crazy people out there.
I only want to kill people who deserve to die.
We gonna do this or what?
I know it's not normal to want to kill, but I am no longer normal.
Whoa.
You really gotta take both those spots?
Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Sounds like an amazing movie.
Whoa.
That's so awesome. Scary.
Wow. That's a scary movie.
That's really cool. Looks very Pulp Fiction-y kind of again, like, you know, just badass, you know, kill kind of movie. It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's obviously got an anti-douchebag slant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but which is always nice.
That's really cool because he's a great director. He did didn't he do Windy City Heat or
I don't know if he did that, but he did that clown movie. What the fuck?
Shakes the Clown,
which is great.
I saw that in the movie theater.
Windy City Heat. Yeah, was that the one where they faked the guy
Dom Barris,
yes.
Isn't it?
Dom Barris and Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Jimmy Kimmel was one of the producers.
That's really funny.
You know, there's tons of people in that movie.
I can't Dane watch Cook's that movie. I've met that dude. It's too tragic.
Huh?
Meet someone who's crazy who thinks they're actually famous.
Yeah, we're actually having.
And he got an attitude. That's what cracked me up about it.
That's hilarious. He got an attitude once he made it.
Yeah.
Once he fake made it.
Yeah.
If people who don't know what we're talking about, Dom, explain the whole situation because it's really pretty fascinating. For people who don't know the story,
the best I remember is they fabricated this guy becoming a celebrity, gradually becoming a star, and he had a movie, and it was just the whole thing was a mock on him. And how else would I explain it, Joe?
He thinks it's real. Like this guy named Perry thinks
he's
it's real.
Crazy, and he thinks
he gets a star attitude.
Well, it's a weird thing because people are paying attention to him, and he isn't a movie,
right?
It's like, what is that?
Yeah, so that's,
So he's so crazy, and it's so not, he's tuned into a dimension that's like right next door to ours. Mm-hmm. You ever met people that are like that?
Yeah.
They're not quite seeing things the way everybody else around us is seeing.
Right.
You know, and you got to wonder, what does the world look like to them? You know, how many times have you met a comic, okay, perfect example.
Oh, I know.
The open mic guys, they come off stage, and they fucking ate dick, and they hear phantom laughs. They'll come off and go, I think that went pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good set.
I killed.
Yeah. I've asked them while watching them just do silence, having silent performances.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Bobcat Goldthwait definitely directed Windy City Heat. Here's on Amazon.
Oh, he directed that as well?
Yeah.
Oh, he's
and actually, we're having this Friday because we're not having a Ice House show Friday. We're having it Wednesday this week. We're having the whole Ding Dong show having a special podcast here so you can meet them. And then they're going to talk about their podcast, which is the Big Three podcast network. So we're gonna have Don in the studio.
The Big Three podcast network. What is that?
The Big Three is Don Barris's podcast with all the characters from this movie, Scary Perry, and
you gonna bring that guy here?
Huh? Yeah.
When is this? Here
Friday at 10:00.
Wow. You gonna deal with that guy?
I hang out with all those people all the time.
But do you want that Perry guy like here hanging out?
Oh, he's normal. He's fine. He's just crazy, but he's not gonna do anything bad or anything like that. Plus, I just upped the insurance, and so it'd be fine.
No, he's not going
to
buy.
No, it's not going to be that. But it's going to be a descent into madness.
Oh, that's what if you haven't listened to our podcast, it's the most amazing soap opera of a podcast. It's great. It's very addicting. If you're looking,
when
for
did this podcast get started?
It was for a while. That used to be on Adam Carolla's network and stuff like that. And then now Don has a whole studio in his house. Pretty much has like a studio like this inside his house, and it's great. Neil leads. You can't be beat. The mattress guy that. Owns that mattress store right here, you know, a couple mattresses stores. Big celebrity in LA. He's now one of the new sponsors, and he's now every Ding Dong show. He comes to the Ding Dong show, and he's just crazy.
Really,
it is insane. that dude's nuts. But it's hilarious, man. It's if you get to know those characters.
I get uncomfortable talking to crazy people. You don't.
Well,
you can have that guy in the studio. I would be freaking out. I'd be like, I can't. This is not. Right. I can't have a conversation while there's someone here that's not having the same conversation.
Right.
Someone here is in another room looking at the whole thing through plexiglass.
Right. I can deal with those people in spurts. Like, I'm not going to have the person over to my house, or I'm not going to like fucking start.
But you know those people? They almost have like a consciousness condom on.
Right.
Like they're not feeling everything that's happening.
It's not. They're in a different reality.
Yeah.
Remember that guy, Joe, late at night on the comedy store, Robert Aduvayo?
He's
something.
Still there.
Robert Aduvayo.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day. Yeah. And he ran away.
he always liked me. Me and him always used to get along. He was a nice guy. Because those like Don Barris would always be mean to that dude. And I'm like, he's not a bad guy, man. No. He's just kind of crazy. But he's pleasant to be around, you know?
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
He's not being mean to anybody.
He would walk from downtown to do his spot.
He still does.
As a kite.
Is he high?
Yeah. No, not high, but I don't know.
I smoked weed with that dude.
Have you ever seen his, like his web show that he did with Mary, like Mary Jane and Don produced it. like it's a show for him. It's kind of like this,
when
but a podcast.
This?
I'll show you a clip of it. It will blow
How
your mind.
How long ago did they start doing this?
Like 2 years ago. They did like
Don Barris?
Don Barris helped film it. And,
but I thought him and Don Barris hated each other.
Oh, you know, they all love each other. Don takes care of so many people there. And
he
takes
care of Robert William Aprovaya?
Mary Jane.
Wow, that's great because for the longest time, remember he was calling him Hitler and he would always see them and put his finger over his nose?
Yeah.
And say that they're Hitler.
Well, you got to remember, Don Barris has been there so fucking long.
Don Barris has been there for a long time.
How long would you say? 20 years, maybe?
At least. Always got along with Don Barris. He's a fucking sweetheart of a guy. I don't think in the 20 years that I've known that guy, or however long it's been, not quite 20 years, but however many years it's been in L.A., never, ever had an unpleasant word with Don Barris.
No,
he's a sweetheart of a guy.
Our relationship's very funny because Eddie Haskell's me. Good evening, Mr. Herrera. How are you doing? You look great tonight. It's a beautiful color for you.
It's always like some sort of an act, you know, always like put on a certain voice or fuck around with you. Him and Brian Callen have some elaborate rape theme they do every time they see each other where Don Barris winds up raping Brian Callen. It always starts out the same way and always ends the same way.
Uh-huh.
There's something about the store where people do stupid shit like that and like keep it going forever. Remember the thing they used to have with Eleanor? We used to ask her about it. You got change for a dollar? And she would go dig in her apron and start masturbating. And we would do this. This is a stupid fucking thing. We would do literally once a week for years.
And her used to get rough together, though.
She's crazy. That girl's strong, too. Remember when she was a pro wrestler?
Yeah.
We used to go see her. Easy Rider?
Easy Rider, right.
We went to see her. She was one of the waitresses. And now she's a very funny comic. Eleanor Kerrigan is her name. She's hilarious. And we're so happy she's finally doing stand-up because she was always like one of the funniest people that would hang around at the store, and she wasn't even a comic. She was a waitress.
Well, we had a thing called the punch to the twat where I would go to her, Ellie, I think you need it. She goes, I think so too. And I go, and I would hit her, and she would act like it hurt, and she'd stagger around. And
I remember that.
Then she acted like she came. She'd be like, oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what a relief. Nothing like a good punch to the twat.
She's really committed to it. She would start off in like deep, deep pain.
And then
she would start coming. And then she would start coming like after the initial impact of the punch. In a way that like only someone who really probably enjoys a good twat punch could deliver it. She embodied that.
She did.
The idea of it. But she was, we would have a long, I mean, we have this thing that was running at the Comedy Store for fucking years. Where I'd go, do you have any change? Hold on a second. And she would just start masturbating. She'd like reach into her apron. She'd be like, and she would like completely commit. Eyes closed, legs pinched together, toes pigeon feet. And you'd be like, I mean, I only need like a quarter. If you just have one quarter, I'll give you a dollar. No, hold on. I'm going to get it. And it was so over the top. And every time she would do it, she would try to top it. Because, you know, we're doing the same goddamn gag over and over again for years. You know, so she would try to double it over. But I remember the cunt punch. I remember when you would cunt punch her. And I think you stomped on the ground, too, pro wrestling style, to make it seem like it was real.
Right.
Check this out, Joe. The Robert Albert Show.
Robert William Aprovaya.
The Robert William Aprovaya Show, starring Robert William Aprovaya. This is Robert William Aprovaya inviting you you join me for stand-up comedy by the official comedian for the 1996 elections and a speech on the following subject. The United States of America should re-legalize hemp. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Robert.
That was Robert, by the way.
Yeah,
that's him.
And
there he goes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, by the air.
He wears that same shirt everywhere he goes, that same outfit. It's green.
Yeah, and he keeps a paper plate that he carries around with that's covered up with aluminum foil and stuff like that. And
a paper plate covered up with aluminum foil?
Yeah, and he keeps it like he protects his head from lasers. Remember, he used to always take like this, you know, block his head so because he thinks people are shooting lasers at him when he walks into the comedy store.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Lasers.
Yeah.
What is it, you know, I wonder if he was crazy always or if one day just reality just became too difficult.
Well, I've never seen him not crazy, so I wouldn't, I mean.
But isn't it weird that there's like there's shades of crazy?
And he's functioning.
Yeah, he's functioning.
How does he even make a living?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But he does get on stage at the store. Still goes up.
Here's Don Barris is like at a store and Robert's walking behind.
It's funny. Yeah.
There's just a bunch
Don Barris is so crazy.
He's so awesome.
He's one of those guys that just, like I said about you, guys you're around, you automatically have a smile. You know, guys that add.
There's Robert right here.
Robert William Aprovio.
And wasn't he one of the original guys that was supposed to take over for Letterman? And that's what he used to always talk about.
What?
Like he was, there's that thing.
There's the aluminum store.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, he was one of the guys.
Is he cool with them doing this and putting this shit online and everything?
I have no idea.
Oh, they're following him around and just filming him, dude. This is probably not the best thing. I wonder if they got his permission for this. Is that Charles Fleischer?
Yeah.
There's a guy I haven't seen in forever. This is for the folks watching at home. They're just following around a guy who has a slippery grip on reality.
Yeah.
But a nice enough guy.
Yeah, he's really nice. I always try to talk to him, but it's impossible now to talk to him. Like, I even tried to give him a joint the other day, and he just ran away.
Isn't it interesting how the store just sort of, like, attracts those types of characters?
Yeah.
We've talked about it so many times with that vortex of Hollywood, that whole area between like the Rainbow Room and the Roxy and, you know, where the Viper Room is and all the way down to where the store is and even the Laugh Factory. Like, that area is so strange. It's such a vortex of bizarre people.
Well, the Viper Room especially is one of the...
You ever done stand-up there?
No. I've seen a lot of music there. And also the Rainbow is like that 80s
tight
pants rocker look.
They won't let it go. They found a spot. They found a spot and they agreed to all go there. Yeah, they found a spot where you know you're going to be able to see someone from that era is going to come by.
It reminds me of the Kennison days, that place.
Yeah, right? He used to talk about it. It was his HBO special. He talked about the Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
About meeting crazy girls over there that that can't wait to meet you and blame their whole miserable, fucked up life on you.
Right.
He had some great, tortured relationship shit.
Oh, he's funny.
One of the best, right? When it comes to tortured relationship shit, I was married for 2 fucking years. Talking about going meeting the devil.
Yeah.
Hell would be like Club Med. Hell would be like Club Med. He was a real game changer, that dude. It's hard to change the game today. Everybody's seen everything. With the internet, the way it is now, it's amazing how much more educated people are today and how much more weird shit they're exposed to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to keep changing stuff. I did a bit about how there's no place to go in comedy. I don't know if you ever saw me do this, but I used to do it. Like, there's that we've been as sacrilegious as you can be, as vulgar as you can be. The only thing left to do is actually come on the crowd. But the guy, at the end of his act, his pants open up and he just started like a fucking machine gun. People are running at you, but you can't help but turn and look back and you get it right in the eye.
I could imagine easily a culture where it would be okay if the performer came on the audience. There's way worse shit out there.
Yeah.
There's way crazier shit out there that people are doing. I mean, even circumcision is pretty fucking nuts. Cutting baby dicks. You've been cutting baby dicks for thousands of years.
Hey, it's a living. It's a living, all
it's
right,
Joe? It's a living. Remember that show?
No.
some sitcom with some chick that was on, I think she was on Celebrity Rehab, one of the first ones.
Hmm. I remember, here's George Jetson, dun, 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 his dog Elroy.
Yeah, what year was the Jetson supposed to be in?
Future, like 1980.
Isn't it funny that, like, when you go and look at shit, like, that they thought was going to be, like
it's
Blade Runner.
It's a disappointment.
Runner. Do you know when Blade Runner was supposed to be taking place in?
No.
2019.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What is this? It's a Living.
I don't remember this at all.
Wow, look at all these fake acting women.
Well, that's a song.
Susan Sullivan. Ooh, she's milfy.
Wow. Where are all these women now?
Oh, don't even bring it up.
Oh, I bet she's hot.
Hey. I bet she's still hot.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of milfy shit going on. That's milfy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I hope she works out, because she's pretty.
Somebody put a Photoshop together with what all these girls look like now.
And Jillian, I know her.
Do you?
I did. I did a roast with Mike Ditka. She was on
it. Is that guy a comic?
I don't know.
It's weird sitcoms from the 70s and 80s.
The Wacky Chef.
He's dead.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen the show before.
Wow.
No, me neither.
Isn't it crazy just going back
Thomas.
In time? What year was that, Brian?
That's Danny Thomas's son.
Yeah? What year was that It's a Living was on the air?
Joe, I never saw that show.
I don't know why I remembered it.
Not only that,
ridiculous.
You remember the theme.
It's like 1980s is all I see.
1980s. Yeah. Wow.
Early 80s.
I remember that show. I think I was in high school. It was on the air.
Weird.
It's amazing how much culture has evolved from that to, what's Larry David's show?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Think of that. Think of the difference between that show, how complex and hilarious and
brilliant
and multi-layered and faceted it is, where it just gets twisted up into things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where, you know, I mean, remember when he had a water bottle in his pants and the girl came in the bathroom? I mean, he's just...
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Well, they used to say that, like, a friend of mine worked for both the Everybody Loves Raymond and Seinfeld. And he said to me, Raymond was so simple because it was an A plot. The whole show was an A plot, sometimes a B. Seinfeld was A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
And they throw everything.
Oh, yeah.
The guy would hit the golf ball, it goes in the whale's blowhole. And Jason Alexander lies about being a marine biologist. He's a marine biologist. Everything, the way everything fit together in 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Clean. And they had to work clean.
Yeah. It was a brilliant, brilliant show. Yeah. And, you know, if you look at, like, those old Father Knows Best, and it's almost like a different species of thing.
Yeah,
like people were so stupid. Like, how could you have this show on the air? Like, you realize how naive culture was just in the 1950s.
Oh yeah, the only one that holds up to me and makes me laugh still is Andy of Mayberry.
Well, just listen to what you said about the Twilight Zone. That holds up. That story holds
that
up.
Yeah,
they wake up and they realize they were actually getting further away from the sun.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, that's a creepy, creepy fucking show. Twilight Zone was amazing.
Remember To Serve Man?
Yes.
The aliens came.
It was a cookbook.
It was a cookbook. Yeah. It's a cookbook!
Well, if you think about the way we treat dolphins and the way we treat killer whales, I would think that if aliens came here, they might either fuck us or eat us.
Yeah.
It's very possible, right? If they're way smarter than us. If they look at us, we're so stupid. We're still using nuclear power and assholes are polluting everything. You know, you give a fuck and they'd eat us.
That's why I have a poor diet. I don't want to be delicious to those.
Well, you really think about it. Your diet probably makes you delicious.
Because, oh, you're right. Like, it's all fat.
Like, yeah, like a Wagyu steak. Like when they get that Kobe beef. Yeah, I mean, they feed it liquor and they massage it.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's just like me.
That's a day in the life on the road. Get a nice deep tissue before the show. Loosen up.
Hey.
You mind if I drink while you rub my back? Yeah. Do you ever get a deep tissue massage?
No, I don't. Mm. I'm not a big massage guy.
Really? Not even at the rub and tug kind of massages?
I used to, but
do you have any fetishes?
Those are hard to find, right?
Fetishes? Yeah.
Like, do you dress up in diapers or do anything weird like that?
No.
Have you ever done any
diapers, Brian?
I think the funniest fetish I ever heard, I don't know if it's true, was Elton John. He liked to run across the room naked, and guys would throw oranges at him, at his ass.
That was his thing?
Yeah.
Supposedly. But that's like Rod Stewart supposedly had to get a stomach pump because there was like a quart and a half of cum.
He blew his soccer team. Hey, guys, in lieu of pay, I'd like to blow all of you.
The best rumor of all time, though, the king of the rumors, is the Richard Gere gerbil up the ass rumor. Yeah. That rumor is, that's the Mike Tyson of 1985.
How do you deny rumors? I never had a gerbil up my ass.
I think Scientology might have done it to him. I think he had been involved.
You think they really put a gerbil in his ass?
No, they probably spread the rumor. Oh. How the fuck did that rumor get? You know, Eddie Bravo grew up here in L.A. I grew up in Boston, and we both heard that rumor.
who's the first guy, the whole country. Joe, who's the first guy that thought, I'm going to put an animal in my ass?
I think people are nuts. They put all kinds of things in their ass.
But I mean, an animal? A live animal? How fucking terrifying.
There's always someone looking to take it to the next level. Nipping? They found a guy who was drunk driving. He had a zebra in his car. A zebra and a giraffe or some shit like that. I just tweeted
it.
Yeah. Yeah, you think you've seen everything. You think, well, I've pretty much, you know, figured out like what people are capable of and what they're not capable of. No. Let me read this to you. Because it is the most ridiculous shit.
We had on Sam Tripoli's Naughty Show last night a woman that was a bondage mistress, and she had her own personal slave. And it was so weird. It was like Pulp Fiction, where like bring out the gimp. And this girl just, like a month at a time, would just live with this woman and her boyfriend, who was the guy from NoFX.
People are so crazy, man.
I mean, then they just were like, all right, you want to see us beat her? And so she, like here, they're just, she's like wailing on this girl with these whips and stuff.
By the way, the guy had a zebra and a parrot in the front seat of his truck.
Sounds like a joke.
And he got arrested in Dubuque, Iowa, driving drunk with a zebra and a parrot. I don't know how he could fit a zebra. I don't understand it. I'm looking at it here. It's a little zebra, obviously. It's not a big zebra, but it's a fucking zebra.
Wow.
This asshole's driving around with a zebra like it's his Jack Russell Terrier.
Hey, you guys want to go for a ride?
He's going to train a zebra. Isn't it amazing that you could just, there's some animals like zebras you could just buy? You could just figure out a way to buy it? How the fuck can you just buy a zebra, man?
Craigslist.
You can buy a fucking tank in this country. Well, if you used money. To.
Wow, they have a little zebra, man. I'm looking at this. Man arrested for OWI with zebra parrot in front seat of truck. Just Google that.
Zebra.
And then there's a video, and he's got a parrot, or the lady has a parrot sitting on her shoulder, and there's a guy. He's just a fucking crazy old cracker, and he has a pet zebra.
Oh wow! Look at this. What I just found while looking at this.
What?
Breeder of miniature donkeys, giant grant zebras.
What?
And
you could buy zebras?
Let's see what's for sale right now.
Oh, my God. You can buy a zebra.
Oh. A zebra.
What the fuck?
Fucking buy a zebra, dude.
Dude, look at it. How about a z-donkey?
It's only $3,000.
What's a z-donkey? Look at that. Look at that thing. Scroll up. That's half zebra, half donkey, son. Oh. A z-donk. It is. Oh, my God. I was joking around. That's what it's called. A z-donk.
A jasmine, a z-donk.
When I said z-donkey, I was joking.
Dude, you need to get a z-donkey.
There's a half donkey, half zebra. That's insane.
Look, giant zebra, $5,000. You have your own zebra for $5,000.
The fuck would I do with a zebra,
get
man?
Get one, dude. Look.
Look at the z-donkey. I want to watch the video.
What's that, an
zebra
alpaca?
Fucking that donkey. I wonder if the zebra fucked the donkey or the donkey fucked the zebra.
Look at that.
Imagine the zebra did the fucking.
Look at this little applejack.
I think your beaters
are wild.
I think you're being presumptuous, Joe.
What the fuck is that?
Applejack.
We're looking at something that says a spotted miniature donkey jack. Oh, my God. I got to get out of here. I got to go do. I got to be at Carolla's place in half an hour. Okay. The end. Dom Herrera, you're the fucking king, as always.
This is always fun, man. Thank you.
It couldn't have been more fun.
Thanks
it's impossible.
Thanks for putting
anytime
me on Twitter.
You want to do it again, we keep doing it. We do it constantly.
I love it.
We'll never stop, Dom Herrera.
I'll be back after Ireland.
You are officially in the death squad now. You comfortable with that?
Yes. Very comfortable.
Death squad, Dom Herrera.
Thank you, boys.
Official, right? Can we agree? We'll have a meeting. We'll cut thumbs.
And touch June 30th, Tropicana, if I can.
Boom, please. June 30th, go see the great Dom Herrera, one of the funniest comics of all time. And that's even in Comedy Central.
Ditto, my friend.
Comedy Central even says that.
Number 79.
You fucking savage.
Better than Slayton, who was 78.
Oh, Slayton, suck it! Suck it, Bobby! Thank you to The Fleshlight for sponsoring our podcast. Go to joerogan.net, click on the link for The Fleshlight, enter in the code name Rogan. Save yourself some money. It's on 15% off. How about that? Thanks also to onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, which I take before I work out, which keeps me so yoked. Shroom Tech Immune pumps up your immune system, and New Mood, which is a 5-HTP. So it's all explained on onnit.com. It's fabulous. It's wonderful. And we got kettlebells coming out very soon. O-N-N-I-T.com. Talk to you freaks soon. Oh, next, what do we got tomorrow?
We have Joey Coco Diaz.
Yes, Joey Diaz is tomorrow
at 1 o'clock, I believe.
And then we got Bert Kreischer.
What time is Bert Kreischer?
Bert Kreischer's on Thursday.
Oh, cool.
I think.
Sweet.
Is that what I said?
I didn't know about Bert Kreischer.
I got. I shouldn't be taking care of this. I'm too fucking scatterbrained to be. I made a tweet about it. Let me read my tweet, my own tweet, so I'll know who's on a podcast this week.
I want to get one of these little zebra cherry dart.
You don't want to have a fucking zebra wandering around your household,
what,
dude.
What about this little horse thing? What was it called again? A cherry dart?
Or yeah, Applejack? Bert Kreischer's on Thursday, yes. I just wanted to confirm because I wasn't... Because I know there was... we tried to do another day, but he couldn't make it. And then next week, we got Shane Smith coming up, Bass Nectar. We got a lot of shit coming
Bobcat.
Up. Bobcat Goldthwait next Wednesday. So next Wednesday, we got... that's a hot three right there, ladies and gentlemen. Bass Nectar. Come on, son.
Sweet.
We're going to have a good time. And Shane Smith will return. And tell us some more fucking crazy stories about wherever that guy's been all over the world.
Sweet.
That's
you got to get
Smith
Anthony Bourdain on the show and talk about Olive Garden.
You bro, see? Olive Garden sucks. You got to shut it up. He's going to stab you. Anthony Bourdain's going to stab you. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right.
Early. It'll be 1 o'clock for Joey Diaz. Yes. Later. Bye.
Later.